All right, I'm recording. Let me
Joe
let me,
Galley, right?
Let me start the butt. Yeah, Galley, 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 Galley.
Joe Galley?
Not Jib Galley, Joe Galley.
No, Jib Duggan.
Jib Duggan. Oh, I don't have a liner. I should add a liner before
Tony
you start.
Tony should start the show with a liner.
Yeah, that'd be kind of a right idea, good thing to do. Who should we give it to today? Let's see who we got on our
list. I don't
know.
Get creative. Give it to Mark Adam Haggerty.
For real?
I don't know. He left us one last week.
Oh, I didn't add it yet.
Tony sucks. Tony's.
Oh, I'm going to add one of your favorites.
Oh, one of my faves.
A nice, dumb, long one.
A nice, dumb, long one.
That's what she said.
All righty.
Hey, hey.
Ho, ho.
Oh, my.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
All right. Tonight on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, the voice of the NWA, Joe Galley, calls in to talk NWA hard times, NWA power, and much more. Plus, we watched MLW. We watched Ring of Honor. We're getting ready for the Royal Rumble. We're going to give our last picks of the year. Tony's head might explode. All next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on RantiumRadio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.ShiningWizards.com. Shop at Amazon at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com. And become a patron at Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
Приступила к производству компьютеров персональный спутник.
Voila! You are listening to the Shining Wizards. Enjoy the program. I know that's Voila! Has the power. I'm the French Jesse James.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Titties.
Hell yeah!
God damn.
Thankfully, this is the final week of the picks and the Shining Wizards pick thing because I've had enough of this nonsense.
What a terrible way to open the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening live on The Rant or RantiumRadio.com. You are listening in downloaded podcast form, and we appreciate you either in all ways to Sunday. You are, of course, listening to the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Kevin.
Matt.
Boys, what's going on?
Nothing. I'm woke as a mofo, son.
Yeah, you know what? You are pretty woke.
He's woke.
I'd have
I'm
to say
woke.
That.
Matt is woke.
Joe Galley's woke. He'll be joining us in a little while to talk about the NWAs and about being a cat dad and all this other great stuff.
The voice of NWA power, which kind of got Dave Marquez.
Yeah,
mad.
Don't tell Dave Marquez
don't
that.
Tell Dave Marquez that Joe Galley is the voice of NWA power.
Well, I look at it like this. Did you ever consider Howard Finkel to be the voice of the WWF?
No.
So that's exactly
yeah,
the point.
Yeah, but it's just a phrase that you're conditioned to say at a certain point where you like...
Oh, but he's the voice. Like, when you tune in every week, like, he's the guy that you hear behind the microphone calling
right.
the action. You know, I mean, Dave Marquez does a little bit of the interviewing and whatnot.
He's great,
but,
too, by the way.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. He's got that great voice as well, you know?
Yeah, but he's the voice of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood.
Ooh.
You can't be the voice of everywhere,
that's,
Dave Marquez.
That's a great point, Matt. And we'll bring this up with Joe Galley, hopefully.
Yeah. Joe Galley, you're going to start some shit between Joe Galley and Dave Marquez.
So they're going to have a match at NWA Hard Times.
Hard times, daddy.
Hard times, daddy. So how you guys doing? What's going on? What's shaking? Let's talk some wrestling. I've been watching a lot of wrestling.
Uh-oh. Let's see. How many of them are WWE products?
One.
Okay.
I did watch NXT this week.
The UK or the regular
No,
NXT?
I don't give a shit about the UK, man. Come on.
I thought you wanted to do some research to put the final nail on the coffin this week.
It's so funny, Matt. Can I call you out on something?
Sure.
And you kind of justified it in a way. You said, does anyone else not realize that the Royal Rumble is this week?
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, you don't watch WWE, though. So, like, it shouldn't feel that way to you. But then you did come back, someone, I think, chimed in. I forget who it was. But then you were like, yeah, I haven't watched either, but it's still...
But like, you know, like, the headline for Raw tonight is fucking Lashley and Lana against Rusev and Liv Morgan?
Liv Morgan, yeah.
Liv Tyler.
That's a hot story, bro.
That's your go-home to Royal Rumble?
It's a three-hour show.
Oh, it's way too long, first of all.
And the point is... Oh, and Miz and Mrs., the new season debuts tonight right after Raw anyway.
Well, beautiful.
So you got three and a half hours of hot WWE action.
I gotta set my DVR.
That's it.
And Brock Lesnar's going in at number one?
Yeah.
But he's the champ.
Right? I'm not the biggest fan of that. I'll give the devil its due. I'm not the biggest fan of that idea.
Are you a big fan of this Seth Rollins faction?
Well,
yeah, and I...
I'm pretty sure that sums it up.
You don't like the Seth Rollins?
No, I do.
I like it's something new. It's something different, and I think Seth is a much better heel
with AOP and Buddy Murphy.
Yeah, and I like that it involves Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe kind of tandem team.
Now, did you guys watch the fist fight last week?
Yeah,
negative.
I happened to catch it because I wanted to see the end of Raw to see what the big hullabaloo was all about.
Ooh, hullabaloo!
And of course, Big Show teamed up with Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe.
Yeah, he was this. No, he wasn't the surprise
guest.
That was two weeks ago. Okay.
So, you know how, like, the front of the Raw, like, setup is, like, curved out, like, where the Titantron
is? Kevin Owens does a weird little run-up.
Parkour. Dude, it was great, but it was, like, almost like a half pipe, like a surfing half pipe, you know?
Like he was Darby Allin skateboarding around.
Dude just ran up there and just... But here's the fucked up thing, right? So, Buddy Murphy wrestled Aleister Black, like, two matches before this happened. Buddy Murphy gets pinned, doesn't lift his shoulder after he got hit with Black Magic or whatever the finisher was, and the referee stops the count, and they had to do it again. And then finally referee counts. Your buddy, I think it was Corey Graves, going, oh, you could have slid a piece of paper under that kick out or whatever. I know
it
sounds
like
Jim
Ross.
Look at Tony.
I thought he was your pal.
Tony picking apart stuff that just happens.
I think we talked about it last week. I think across the board in all professional wrestling, the refereeing hasn't been very good. There's been a lot of counts when the shoulders are down, when the shoulders are up.
But the funny thing was, like, he used his finishing move, and that was supposed to be the finish, because all he did was pick him up and give it to him again. And then he got the three.
Double Black Mass.
But that's it, Black Mass, not Black Magic. So anyway...
I like Black Magic, too.
Buddy Murphy just sits on the sidelines.
That's
got
to be somebody's finish.
He sits on the sidelines, and he's just like, I don't know if he was sulking or if he was like sitting there in disbelief at ringside. And then all of a sudden, when Seth Rollins and all them came out, he jumped right in and he helped them out. So now it's the AOP with Seth and Buddy Murphy, which is just, I don't know. I mean, I like it. It was just a weird way to get to it, you know? Nothing?
I guess. I mean, look, I'm not watching the product, so I can't really comment on it. I saw that, and I saw the Becky Lynch Asuka thing, where Asuka blew the mist in her face, and she really sold it like it was doing some damage, but...
Some real mist right there, baby.
I don't know, man.
The Evolution is a mystery.
The WWE is just kind of...
Does she blow white mist?
No.
Not yet.
Oh, see, Bukkake Warriors, that's what you should get into.
Oh, right.
Like Eric Rowan's
still...
We're
not wasting any time there, Tony.
He's still right in.
Eric Rowan's still squashing jobbers and the like...
Who gives a shit about what's in the thing?
That's going to be the biggest disappointment,
I agree 100%. The payoff is not going to be
fucking, is it a Harlem fucking sewer rat?
That would be good.
It's going to be Bray Wyatt's head, as opposed to the head that Bray Wyatt carries.
Ooh.
There you go.
Nice.
Now, see, if that leads to an Eric Rowan, Bray Wyatt. Well, Bray Wyatt's on SmackDown, Tony.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, Kevin.
It matters.
Ah. Not
so
anymore.
So let me ask a question.
Sure. That's what we're here
corporate
for.
Corporate Kevin here.
That's right.
So Brock is in the Rumble.
That's
yes.
Right.
Does that mean.
No.
But the winner can still pick whoever they want to fight, right?
Sure.
There's too many fucking titles in the WWE.
Guys, Brock Lesnar's not winning the Royal Rumble.
No shit, because Cain Velasquez is going to eliminate him, and we're going to continue with that dog shit.
I didn't even want to think about that.
Well, sorry. Spoiler alert.
You're a dick.
Why?
You brought down the show.
I didn't fucking sign Cain Velasquez to the WWE.
To a multi-year deal.
I don't even watch the fucking nonsense. Your boy, John Morrison, is back with your best friend, The Miz.
That's right, baby. My boys are back.
They're feuding with The New Day, right?
That's it.
That's a thing?
That's it. Yeah, they brought Miz Morrison back on The Miz TV show, and then Miz fought Kofi, and John Morrison was integral in that outcome. Did a nice little parkour move.
Yeah, it's a shame John Morrison still doesn't know how to cut a confident promo.
He's better He is 10 times better than he was. 10
times better than a fraction is still a fraction. Yikes.
Thanks, Scott.
Oh, my God. You're so...
Oh, he's ornery, dude.
Why are you so negative about everything?
He's ornery.
What has John Morrison ever done to you?
All right, you know what? Do we have the rewind sound effect?
I do have the rewind sound effect.
All right, good. Pull that up a second. I'll wait.
All right.
John Morrison and The Miz were the best tag team probably of their era with Hawkins and Ryder right there.
Wait.
And Eminem.
John Morrison cut the greatest fucking promo ever.
That's right.
I think it was better than Hard Times. I think it was better than Austin 316. I'd put that fucker up against any promo ever in the history of professional wrestling.
That's called sarcasm.
Yeah. No, that's a great... Dude, I'm telling you.
That's a little extreme.
This is what it's going to be like all night, just so you know.
This is ECW legend John Morrison we're talking about here.
You watch your mouth over there. Watch your fucking tongue. That happened.
Morrison and Miz were SmackDown Tag Team Champions on ECW.
They're back together. That wasn't ECW. Lacey Evans is going after Bayley. That's a thing, right?
All right.
Yes.
Lacey Evans as a babyface. I don't hate it, but I don't think she was given her just due as being a top bad guy.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Let me ask you another question, Corporate Kevin.
That's right.
Is every Shorty G feud going to be about his height?
Every Shorty G feud, and I knew this was going to be Sheamus' role coming back. It was going to be him and fucking Shorty G. Greatest theme song ever, by the way.
That's why he doesn't have the mohawk anymore.
Because it makes him too tall?
Yeah, of course.
He went back to his old look.
Yeah, but Ultra Vince cannot face Shorty G with the mohawk because he's going to look like he's 5 feet tall.
Ultra Vince. Like, is he like a Voltron? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, Sheamus is Ultra Vince.
What does that mean?
That's like Vince. Like, if Vince was a wrestler, he'd be Sheamus? Yes.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Has that been talked about?
Oh, yeah. That's like a worldwide phenomenon.
Tony's got his ear on the underground of the wrestling community.
I'm fucking W-O-K-E, boys.
Did you get called a snowflake this week?
No, not this week.
Oh, okay, good.
Because everybody recognized the greatness.
Tony, can I ask you something?
Sure.
You're wearing that very nice All Elite Wrestling t-shirt.
Yeah, the correct gift that I was supposed to get from Christmas.
That's right. Did you iron it before I gave it to you? Or is that as is?
No, I washed it. Why? It looks wrinkly. What?
No, it looks great. That's why I'm surprised, because it was on my floor.
Where'd you get that gift from?
I think Chippy Magoo.
Oh.
You know, the guy that don't wash his feet?
The guy that's got the dirty feet and he won't sign up for our Patreon, but I support his podcast. Yes, Chippy J taking over the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Just going to throw that out there. Wow. Jay and Phil going to take over while Choppy. Hit the bricks there.
Dissension
in
the
fucking
ranks.
Nasty feet, you ghoul.
Fucking Mark.
So Shorty G's got a match with Sheamus at the Royal Rumble.
Whoop!
I know you guys were fucking chomping at the bit for that gimmick. What else do we got? Anything else exciting? Oh, there was a tables match. Roman Reigns beat Robert Roode on SmackDown.
Yeah, and Robert Roode came
back. He's not suspended anymore, right?
And he loses right away. Huzzah.
Well, there's a bigger picture, Tony. There's a King Corbin feud that is taking place with the Roman Reigns.
Oh, please tell me we're getting another King Corbin Roman Reigns match at the Royal Rumble.
Okay, we are getting another King Corbin Roman Reigns match.
What's the stipulation?
It's a false count anywhere match.
Oh, fantastic. Another win for King Corbin.
I didn't even know that.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely, dude.
I'll stay in the WWE realm since you're a belt mark.
We're in the realm.
I think Kevin will like this too. They unveiled the new WWE United Kingdom Championship.
Yeah.
Because it has been officially renamed the NXT United Kingdom Championship.
I like that.
Yeah, all they did was take the WWE logo off it and put the NXT logo. Whoop-de-fucking-do.
Oh, my God.
10 grand down the shitter.
Wow.
Did they really need to do that? No.
I don't know. Did they?
Dumb. You know what else was dumb that they fucking did?
Wait. Why is it dumb, Tony?
It's dumb. It's a waste of money.
Is it ever defended on other than an NXT show?
It's dumb. I would not have gotten a new belt just to change the logo. Nobody gives a fuck about how that logo looks anyway. Who cares? It's the NXT UK Championship. It's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. You just said it.
Okay.
It's the NXT UK Championship. It's not the WWE UK Championship.
Well, then that's their problem, not mine.
But you seem very, I guess...
I guess
the word of the night is ornery.
Would you spend the money to get a new belt?
I'm not a billionaire.
Well, there you go. You just answered my question. So I wouldn't have gotten a new belt. You know what else I'm pissed off?
If it cost me...
You know what else I'm
pissed
off?
In the ratio, if it cost me like $10 as opposed to $10,000, yeah, I would have done it.
You know what pissed me off more than that?
What else is grinding your gears, T-Donk?
Oh, my God.
They
this
did
is a
nothing.
T-Donk hour.
They did nothing with our friend Jazzy for a year, and she told them fuck off, and she fucking left. And I'm so glad. And she's hitting the reset button on her career, and I can't wait to see what Jazzy comes up with next. What a fucking waste of time, dude.
Why are you leaning in towards me?
Because I know she's your girl, and I want to make sure you hear this loud and clear.
I gotcha.
It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Alpha Female is fucking amazing, and they did nothing with her for a year. After she fucking had to fight and claw her way to into that company, and they, sorry, we ain't doing anything with you, sweetie. And she's like, all right, you know what? Fuck this shit.
Who's
I'm leaving.
Who's that you just impersonated?
Jim somebody or other. I don't know. Jim Galley. There you go.
Johnny Saint.
There you go. Johnny Scumbani. That's
Johnny Scumbani.
Yes, that's who I imitated.
All right.
Listen, this was probably her call. Right?
Look, you guys should be excited. This is the most ornery I've been about WWE NXT UK in forever.
Yeah, but you're so vindictive for no real reason.
No real reason? Why? Like, what's the point of spending... Oh, Walter, here you go. Here's your new belt. You know what? You know which one was worse than that? Tito Santana in a tag team match going, oh, hey, Tito, here's your new Intercontinental belt. Have fun beating up Ricky Itachi and Ricky Hunter or whoever the fuck they faced that day.
Ricky Itachi?
Yeah, you don't remember Ricky Itachi?
Is Ricky Itachi a real thing, or are you just making that up?
Dude, he doesn't know Ricky Itachi, dude. Do you know Ricky Hunter?
I think you're making them both up.
All right, Google them.
I know. I think in your mind they're real.
Do you know Barry O?
Of course Barry O.
All right, he knows Barry O. He doesn't know Ricky Itachi. He doesn't know
Ricky
Hunter.
Ricky Itachi and Ricky Hunter might be, like, before his time.
Tiger Chung Lee?
Yeah, of course.
How could you know Tiger Chung Lee and not know Ricky Itachi? That's impossible.
I feel like that was like a made-up name in like your wrath of hatred towards everything.
No, my wrath
right
of hatred
now.
Still has logic, finesse, and all things that are correct in the world of professional wrestling.
I know my enhancement talents from the 80s and the 90s.
It's
don't
not
remember.
Ricky Attack Wrestler. It's Itachi.
A-T-A-K-I.
Itachi. He's an Asian fella, if I may use the word
Asian. Did he
wear
straight-up black trunks and black boots?
No, I think he had long tights, didn't he?
No, he was in the WWE for a while.
There you go.
A lot of 1990-1991.
Yeah.
All right, so we're doing a different era here.
How about Rick Hunter? Another journeyman who spent a lot of time.
How do you spell Itachi?
A-T-A-K-I.
Like Atari, except a K instead of an R. Ricky Hunter. I can't believe these guys
he
don't
was
know
a
job.
He was a Canadian professional wrestler, Ricky Hunter.
Yeah, but take a look.
He was a job guy.
Yeah, he was a job guy for a long time.
Now, he goes back like to the 86, 87, 88, 85.
Yeah, but he teamed up with Ricky Itachi on
stuff.
Okay,
I'm just
they
telling you,
paths.
Relax. What are you getting all
and
fucking...
And Tiger Chung Lee crossed paths with both of these guys.
All right, so it's the seven degrees of separation.
Ricky Itachi looks familiar.
Ricky Itachi and Ricky Hunter. So,
but doesn't... He's one enhancement guy that I just don't remember. I'm sorry, Tony.
I don't know what the point of this conversation was.
Kevin accused me of making up names. I'm just saying.
I didn't
accuse
you. I just
you kind
of
did.
Kind of, right?
All
right. I love how Kevin's so sweet when he's backing his way out of his bullshit. He's like, I didn't really, but
I just thought it sounded like you made it up.
He's like, still love me. I didn't really mean to.
Yeah, I'm a nice guy.
Kalisto and Elias are signed. They've signed new contracts with the WWE. So,
oh, good for them.
You got that going
walking
for you.
Walking with Kalisto.
fucking
idiots. Hope they team them up.
The WWE's coming back to New York City on March 22nd.
Ooh, whoop-de-doo. Where are they going to be? Barclays Center?
MSG.
Oh, MSG, baby.
Oh, even better.
And they're really going to hammer home the DX reunion.
Oh, great.
So that's
it's DX against Bobby Roode and Yoo-Hoo Nation.
No, it's actually against Ricky Itachi and Barry O.
Fucking Barry O.
So you wonder.
He's from the Barry O. Kevin, I almost had him puking. He was taking a sip. That's why I went for
it. I can't spill more alcohol on your couch than I've done in the last couple weeks.
Ugh. It's stuff like this that really just kind of
sticks in your craw.
I'm just like, eh.
Yeah, why have a garden show if you're going to, like, oh, it's DX? Who gives a shit?
I mean, they want to sell tickets. I get it.
Who
but
cares? It's
like,
have it at Barclays.
If they didn't get together once a year, then it'd be, like, a big deal. But it's every year they find a way to shoehorn DX on the TV. So.
Yeah, but it's a house show. Does anyone really care?
The New York City faithful will. I mean, Andrade won the U.S. title at the last house show, so you never know what's going to happen at a house show.
Fucking Andrade.
Oh, which is fine. And that worked. Andrade's is fucking...
They fucked up his match, too! You want to talk about bad refereeing?
Oh, boy.
Did you see that shit? He went to jump at Andrade, and Andrade, like, threw him over, and he landed on Selena Vega, whatever her name is.
That's it.
And, like, they both, like, he, like, looked like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. It's like when I blew out my knee. I don't believe it. And he runs back in the ring. The referee grabs him and throws him back out. And then he grabs Andrade, and he's telling Andrade to get back in the ring. I'm like, what are you doing? It was, like,
wow,
3 minutes
unbelievable.
Of, like, oh, thanks, Hulkster, brother.
Ay, ay, ay.
I got no words for you.
Jimmy. I got nothing else. What else? All right, what else happened in the world of WWE? What else can possibly go wrong?
How about the NXT UK takeover, bruh?
We talked about that last week.
That was last week?
Yep.
All right.
They added a stipulation to the Fiend Daniel Bryan match.
Oh, what's
Rumble.
The stipulation?
It will be a strap match.
All right.
Oh, fantastic. Are they going to beat each other with those $10,000 friggin' Fiend belts? Nobody else is buying them shit.
$10,000? They're like...
Yeah, they're like
$7,000. Yeah,
$10,000. Yeah. Wow. Kevin's looking for an opening, and I just keep shutting him down.
Hey, you're good, buddy. Hey, when you're on, you're on. I'm not gonna disrespect you, my friend.
He's like 10,000. What?
I thought it was a lot more for some reason, but then I was like, wait a second. No, it was actually 6,000. This is a 6,000,
like 666. You know, because Satan 666. Ha ha ha. Good on you, WWE. Is this match gonna be in red, or are they gonna make it like the colors of Puerto Rico? Is it a Caribbean strap match?
No, it's not a Caribbean strap match.
So Savio Vega's not gonna be there.
Besmirch. The good name of Savio Vega.
Yeah, Savio Vega.
Oh, we'll talk about Savio later.
You and your boy Triple H are in the same boat.
Oh, my boy.
Apparently with Paige.
Why? Because we both shit on Paige?
Yeah.
Yeah. He made like a baby daddy joke that made no sense.
Okay. So
and on top of that, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Tell everybody
tell
what the joke was.
What happened.
Okay. Here we go.
Triple H was doing like
a media
thing yesterday.
Of course he was.
Last week.
Wait. What's Triple H's position in the company?
He's the COO. Right?
Oh, okay. So that means like he's upper management, right?
Right.
So you would think in upper management, you'd want to behave yourself a little better, especially on a media call. Please continue.
So they asked about question about Paige or Edge making a possible return to the ring, and Triple
H. You're talking about
Triple H replied. Edge has kids. Paige, she probably has some she doesn't know of.
Oi! Falling out my uterus, eh?
And then Paige heard that and she said, even my boss jokes about me. No wonder you guys still do it too.
Who's you guys?
Well, she was referring to the fans, people like you.
Yeah, hey, I didn't make fun of her losing babies. That's fucked up.
But she didn't. No, she didn't lose a baby. It was
but that was the insinuation of the joke.
No, the insinuation was a joke that she's a whore and then she fucks around and has a lot of kids.
Yeah, but
that she doesn't know about.
But the joke didn't make sense. You don't get it?
No, I'm snapping for you to play my fucking whore drop I did at the start of the show.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
Which is in terrible taste. It was in bad taste, much like what just happened in the last 6 seconds here.
But he's also the COO. It's not like it's, you know, like that's a fucking HR nightmare if she wants
but
it to be.
But he's D-Generation X Triple H.
He owned it and he apologized immediately and he was, I think he's all good.
If I were her, I would cash that lottery ticket in and I would go back to fucking England, wherever she comes from, and help her parents get that fucking promotion up and running again and ride off into the sunset.
It's already over, I think.
Yeah, whatever. Situation.
He said, sorry. Sorry about your baby. I said, corporate Kevin to babysit all your illegitimate children.
I will do that. I am available, Paige.
And we'll be at the Garden March 22nd. Buy your ticket. Suck it.
Unless Paige has like male anatomy and she's impregnating people around
Ooh.
The country.
No, you saw the video. She doesn't have a ding dong.
Well, we didn't see the whole video.
What do you mean you didn't see the whole video?
Maybe she changed up since then.
That's all right, man. I mean,
it's 2020, bro.
You're
looking at woke Tony right here. I know these things.
What is that?
That's the W. I'm woke.
Did you see this? What is that?
That's the W for woke.
That's not a real thing.
No, it's not.
You know what? Let's run with it.
And this is the Illuminati, and this is you because you're a
fucking
threat.
Loser.
I know.
The guy who's five games back.
You ain't woke, though, bro.
I'm not. I don't even know what the fuck woke is.
Yeah.
It's
a shame. Even on Twitter, you're trying to figure out what woke is. It's very funny.
It's very entertaining.
Yeah, it's great.
And I have gone back into the good graces with the champ, Nick Aldis, just so you guys know.
And the Pope.
I got the Pope back on board.
Love the Pope.
Doing God's work, people.
You must have talked some shit about him to get thrown off of the Pope's.
I remember just trying to tweet about him. Like, why can't
I
find
him? Because I probably tweeted about his shitty Impact
commentary
when it was like cool to make fun of Impact.
Impact's good.
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
But
right?
The champ,
right, Tony? You like Impact, right? Right,
I love
Tony?
Impact.
Oh,
Impact's
do you?
Fucking fantastic. You want me to?
I'm gonna give you 30 seconds.
Finish Raw.
Raw's done, right?
Raw's
we're done.
Done.
You want to talk anything else about WWE?
Nah, we're fine. I mean, the Morrison comeback, the Robert Roode return,
which we talked about.
Yeah,
That's it.
Sasha Banks stuff and Becky Lynch.
What's Sasha Banks stuff? What's wrong with her?
No, nothing's wrong with her.
What's wrong with her?
I'm just saying that's the highlights of the shows. That's all.
All right. Before Joe Galley calls in to talk NWA Hard Times, NWA Power, the Go Home episode tomorrow night on YouTube, we're going to talk about a little Impact spoiler that Tony really went, no. You need to fucking defend yourself. So I'll give you like a couple seconds if you don't want to hear this, if you're really into Impact, you don't have the internet, or you're just not into spoilers, take a minute. Pause your gimmick, whatever you're listening to. Turn off the live feed. It's
not put
like
your hands
listening.
Over your ears wherever you are and just go, blah, 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 blah. So this way people around you will know that you're listening to The Shining
Wizards. So Impact is taping their post Hard to Kill episodes. The show that aired last Tuesday night, was kind of like a compilation. It had like a four-way match with Fala from like House of Hardcore from earlier in the month.
They're in Mexico taping
right now. They're in Mexico taping. And Jordynne Grace, she defeated Taya Valkyrie to win the Impact Knockouts Championship. Tony.
Yes?
Threw a fucking fit.
Yes, I did.
Fuck wrestling, fuck Impact, fuck the picks, because Taya Valkyrie lost at the tapings versus losing on pay-per-view. Please enlighten me on this, the way your brain is working.
Because I really want to know.
Why would you hotshot the title when you had a perfectly fine...
Now, hold on.
Is it this week's episode?
Whoa. You're telling me you're giving me 30 seconds. I'm not 2.2 seconds in, and you're going, hold on.
Is it this week's episode?
I don't know when it's going to show.
It does matter.
But what's hot? What are you hotshotting?
They gave the title to the woman that challenged at the pay-per-view like a couple of days after the pay-per-view. Like, what's the point of that booking?
Well, where it shows up in the TV tapings is a whole different story.
That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Because if it shows up in 3 weeks, then it's almost a month removed from Hard to Kill.
And you're acting like this is like the first time. Say it is this week. You're acting like it's the first time this has ever been done.
Well, you guys are acting like this is the first time I've ever bitched and moaned about this happening.
I didn't hear you bitch and moan when Sami Callihan beat Brian Cage in the steel cage to win the Impact title after previously losing on pay-per-view a week or two before that to Brian Cage.
Yeah, I did.
Not to this level.
No, because
you refer
bad.
To this as Russo booking.
This is Russo booking.
It's not Russo booking.
There's two things I know about this. One, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. And two, this is fucking Russo booking 101. Don't give the people that paid their hard-earned money to go through the fucking Hard to Kill or whatever. It was hard to part with money knowing that a week later she was going to lose the championship
first of all,
anyway.
Didn't
How many watched
the pay-per-view. You didn't buy the pay-per-view.
You're right. I wouldn't buy it because I would have fucking lost money on the
deal.
I'm spending my money on Hard Time.
What are you losing money on, Tony? You're paying for the product before you know what's going to happen.
I would have been more aggravated if I
There's
paid
a
more.
Story here, Tony. See, yeah. It was going to be Jordynne Grace against Taya Valkyrie, and then ODB got involved. Then ODB pushed Jordynne Grace out of the ring and stole a pinfall from her pinning the champion on Impact Television.
I know.
Fast forward to Hard to Kill.
I understand.
I just want to make sure you understand it, because it's sometimes, I mean, I'm an embarrassment to the podcast 97%
of
the time.
Stop it.
This is weird, because you kind of just go off on these weird little tangents where, as Kevin said, this is not the first time they've done this with a title.
And I've never liked it any time they've done it.
All right, so you've never liked a title change on a televised cable show in wrestling ever?
No. No, not after a loss on a pay-per-view like that.
All right. So let's think of them off the top of our heads.
Okay, here. I'll tell you right now. Kane beating Stone Cold Steve Austin in a blood match and then losing it the next night anyway.
All right, that's fine.
Oh, we want to go through the whole history of them?
No, but look. Now, WWE is a whole different atmosphere because
WCW, like they lost their entire company doing shit like
Hogan
that.
Hogan won the title on Monday Night Show like after a pay-per-view like four times.
Right.
Yeah, because it was stupid every time.
It was
more,
good, though.
There were more eyes on the weekly television program versus pay-per-view.
Okay, they're not even on Twitch anymore.
They are on Twitch. They're on Twitch every fucking Tuesday.
No, they're not. They got thrown off.
They're suspended.
Oh, after the whole Rob Van Dam thing last week?
Yeah, RV titties all over the place.
Love my RV titties.
So they even lost that now. Fucking poor
They'll
Impact.
They'll be back.
Okay, but more people get Access TV than they get Pop TV and what were they just on? What was the other
Access.
One?
Destination? No.
Destination America.
I had Pop. I had Destination America. I don't have Access, so
I don't
me.
Have Access either. I just wait.
There's another one, I think, too.
Pop, Destination America.
Probably.
True TV? No.
Yeah, true.
Well, they
no. It wasn't true. It was
a TV Guide channel.
Pursuit. Good call, Kevin. But I still think more people will watch Axis versus Ordering Hearts.
You know why I'm annoyed?
Because you lost.
Yeah!
You're an annoy? What are you, Alpha?
Wow. Yikes, that was a stretch. Fucking Stretch Armstrong over here.
I had to take a shot, Tony.
Just a bit outside.
Joe Galley joining us momentarily on the Shining
Thank
Wizards
God.
Hotline to
bring
talk
some,
NWA
bring some
Hard
Times
and the NWA Power Show, Go Home Show tomorrow night on the YouTube, 6:05 Eastern. We're going to find out who fills the last two spots in the TV title tournament.
Not from Joe Galley. Joe, you think you're going to... We should talk...
I got the Pope to follow us back.
We'll find out watching tomorrow.
I talked to
meant.
A WWE legend today on the phone.
Uh-oh. Wait, whoa. K-Fabe. Who'd you talk to?
A lot of pokers in the fire.
No, you can't.
Okay?
He can't.
He didn't tell me?
No, I didn't. There's a reason why I didn't tell you.
Dick.
No. It has nothing to do with that. This might be specifically for you.
Why would you even bring this up? Because you got to be a braggart, like you think you're corporate Kevin, like all of a sudden, like, oh,
Is it Jim Powers?
Kevin drops too many names.
I'm a name dropper.
It's a gimmick.
Yeah, but you can't glomp off of his gimmick.
I talked to Hawkins and Ryder both.
They glomp off my fucking Vince McMahon gimmick all the time.
Who, me? Because I wish you would bring it back, that's why.
I tried, and then everybody else wants to be corporate Vince, so I can't do it. Everyone's stealing my thunder.
I'm just corporate Kevin.
Can I ask you a question?
Who?
Who's Ilja Dragunov?
Oh, the NXT UK guy. Russian guy.
You think he's going to beat Finn Balor?
I'm leaning towards no, because Finn's got that matchup with Johnny Gargano at NXT TakeOver.
I know, I have
but
fucking...
But this is a weird one. The guy is going to be a megastar. I would be shocked if he's not either on one.
But
of
is he going to be a Kenny
roster.
Omega star?
Ah!
Now I'm stealing Kevin's gimmick.
Ah,
bunch of thieves, like we are thieves in the night here at the Shining
Terrible
Wizards.
Jokes? Yes, you did.
Oofa.
Thieves. Oofa. What'd you think about...
WWE legend.
What'd you think about Big Papa Pump on NWA Power before Mr. Galley calls in?
You really want to go into this before Joe Galley calls in?
I just want to talk about Big Papa Pump or Big Papa Plump.
I like the nostalgia stuff. I can't sit here and say I don't like Ricky and Robert. I do get nervous when they're in the ring because I know there's a lot of stuff they can't handle and things kind of have to be set up a little more.
Like walking and running.
They got to be set up a little more correctly for this. But, dude, Scott Steiner just looked like, I don't know, man. Like, he looks like he's had some hard times lately himself.
Dude, he put his body through hell
for 30 years, dude. But, like, it's the same thing like when Kurt Angle came back, like when he couldn't turn his head anymore. It's like
look,
I just can't help but feel like, God, I hope something terrible doesn't
happen.
If
Kurt Angle put a fraction of the steroids into his body as Scott Steiner did.
Well, allegedly.
There's no, dude, no. Scott Steiner looked like a deflated football. And he covered it up by getting himself tattooed up like he was going to fucking prison.
I do respect the symmetry in his tattoos.
His tattoos look great. But, yeah. Man, there was a point where he was reaching for a tag, and his hand was like, you
he's
could
super
see it,
bald
like,
now.
Shaking. He's fucking almost 60 years old. He's 57.
Who's the guy that used to manage the LOD? Paul
Ellering?
He looked like a little bit bigger Paul Ellering standing at the apron.
That's pretty good.
I'll tell you what, though. I watched Scott Steiner promos all day. If he just showed up on NWA Power to cut a promo on whatever was going on.
I'm always afraid, man. Sometimes he's got gems and sometimes it's like, yikes.
This wasn't great.
It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
I laughed my balls off.
It was neutral Scott Steiner, which I was okay with. Good one.
And it's hard. Like, when you think of Scott Steiner, like, you think of him in more recent day and what his antics are. But Scott Steiner is one of the best ever. Like, you have to say
absolutely.
That.
The Frankensteiner
revolutionized what was, I guess, the Hurricanrana. If maybe that was even before the Hurricanrana.
No, it wasn't, but it was the Frankensteiner.
Because a guy his size doing that in the late 80s, early 90s, it was revolutionary.
That's what made it to Frankenstein.
Off the top rope at some point, he started doing it too. Like,
what was the other pile driver move he used
Steiner,
to do?
A Steiner screwdriver.
Yes! Good Lord! He would murder people with that thing.
And I forgot about that till he brought it back when he was a heel in WCW.
The Steiner screwdriver.
He did it before. He did it like in his early days too, but I didn't notice it until... Maybe like
he used to whip it out in Japan.
Yeah.
You go back and see some of the old Steiner Brothers Japan.
I'm sorry, Tony, repeat that.
He used to whip it out in Japan.
That's right.
Can we isolate that, man?
Sure.
He's looking for he's got nothing. He's struggling over here. Joe Galley joining us on the hotline shortly.
Nothing but respect for Scott Steiner, especially when he's got What, is he the one that's got to walk his dog, or was that Raven?
That was Raven.
That was Raven.
You had to bring that up, Kev.
What did Scott Steiner do?
I like turtles.
That's right.
Scott Steiner did nothing. I did the interview with Scott Steiner by myself while he waited in his car to go to a Miami Heat game.
How was that? It's been so long since I listened to that. No,
he was...
But, like, everything was cool. Because I remember when Rhino called, he was a little hesitant about even doing an interview. And then after about 5 minutes, like, everything was warmed up.
No, he was awesome. Scott Steiner was awesome. That was all through,
TNA?
No, whatever that ECW version in Canada that ended up, like, falling apart.
Not Extreme Rising.
No. Hardcore.
Revolution? Hardcore.
No.
Hardcore Homecoming?
Hardcore Reaction? Reaction.
Extreme. Hardcore Reaction, yes. It's the medications. Hardcore Smash.
And then the guy was like stealing money from guys. It was like a big
fiasco. Oh, like any promotion that was trying to come back ECW.
That's
anyway.
Fair enough. But yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed talking to Big Papa Pump. While we wait for Mr. Galley to call, I mean, let's talk about NWA Power. The Dawson brothers faced off against each other for a spot in the NWA World Television Championship. Zane.
And being brothers, they knew each other so well.
Can I ask a weird question?
Sure.
Are they legit
brothers? Yeah, right?
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. And it was a
fair question.
It was a great match. I watched it actually live, and you guys, we were talking in the IMs, and I was like, you know what? I got time. I'll watch this live. And I watched it. It was awesome. So much good stuff. Zicky Dice. I'm a big...
I love Zicky Dice.
Zicky Dice has turned on me.
I got to know what that big... he's turned on you?
Yeah.
At first, I thought he kind of looked like a...
You mean you turned on him?
No, he turned on me.
How?
Come on, dude. Pay attention. That's my gimmick.
Who's the heel? Who's the face?
In your face.
In your face.
There you go.
But no.
I think the tattoo on his abdomen is like a picture of his dad, if I remember right.
Okay. It looks like the...
Doesn't he look just like Aaron Stevens, though?
No. Like, somebody said he's like a dollar store DDP, which like I can kind of see that he's got like a little DDP tendencies.
And Zicky Dice loves us. He follows us. And
he's awesome.
He likes our,
did you,
our stuff. So.
Did you guys see the Indeed video that he made?
Is that starring Funaki?
Indeed. Good one. That's a good one. We almost threw that one under the bus, but that one was pretty good.
That's all
right. No, it's for like that website where they try to find you jobs.
Oh, Indeed.com?
Yes. And
Indeed.
He's like,
Indeed.com, right?
No, Indeed.
Indeed. All right.
So
Zicky Dice?
Yes. So he's like a caretaker for like people with like mental disabilities. So like he's got this kid that he spends time with that he visits. I say kid, maybe he's in his 20s now or something.
Still a kid.
But dude, like he's like a caretaker. Like that's like his profession. And dude, just a genuine guy. Like just hearing him talk, like talking about his life, talking about how he loves helping people out. Like just a tremendously great guy. And you know what? His match with Caleb Conley, I know we talked about it like a week or two ago. But dude, Caleb can go. He hung in there. He was on top of everything.
And this is like the part of me that kind of hurts. I want Caleb Conley to be like,
I do too.
A star.
He deserves it.
Like a superstar.
He deserves it.
And he deserves it in any company. And I get why you have to do certain things. I understand it. I'm not a fool. But the fact that Caleb Conley is the victim of a lot of these other pushes, which is fine because these guys also deserve it. I just want Caleb Conley. I want the best for him. That's all. That's weird. Is that weird? Is that too heartfelt? I don't know. I don't even know him really well. So,
no, I got to call a few of his matches, especially when he was feuding with the Gran Akuma over the Full Impact Championship.
Big Gran Akuma.
Those
guy.
Were good matches, man. Gran Akuma, I miss watching that guy wrestle. He's a fucking talent, too.
He doesn't do it anymore?
He's around. I don't know how much he still wrestles, but I know he was taking some time away like a couple years ago. But, yeah, I really hope he's still applying his trade somewhere because he's hella talented as well.
Well, Caleb wasn't he the tag partner of, like, Trevor Lee and TNA?
He was part of that
weren't
that
they, like,
the
truck drivers?
Yeah.
Kevin Grifo, truck driver tag team?
Well, he was part of them.
He was Trevor Lee's partner.
No, but there was somebody else that Trevor Lee threw out.
Andrew Everett.
That's it. Thank you. Andrew Everett was the other guy with the long hair.
And now he's in Evolve, I think, right?
Who?
Isn't Andrew Everett in Ring of Honor? Ring of Honor, yeah.
Let's see.
Oh, we can even talk about Ring of Honor, but let's finish up about NWA
so
Power.
Zane Dawson beat Dave.
Yes.
There was an awesome promo package, kind of, maybe we're going to get a little more out of this Colt Cabana, Ken Anderson thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were back and forth backstage promos.
I'm not going to try and sound mean, but Melina sucks.
You know what?
So I'm just going to get that out of the
no,
way.
No. I'm glad you brought this up because I was waiting. I was absolutely fine with her match with Ashley Vox.
The match was fine.
I thought it was fine. Yeah, she's a little rough on the mic.
The promo, and I don't mean no disrespect to
but I was saying a couple weeks ago, I wanted to see her in the ring. I saw her in the ring, and you know what? I was perfectly
was okay.
fine with it. I agree with you.
I did not enjoy her match. Manny Crockville, at Kratzo on the Twitter machine, Hardcore Road Trip was the name of the promotion in Canada.
There you go.
Never even heard of it.
I remember it. I remember hearing the name of it, but
my
I don't
apologies
remember much
for interrupting
about it.
Our Melina Ashley Vox conversation.
That's fine. Hey man,
Kratzo.
Sometimes you got to bring us the hot take.
I guess so. And then she called out Allison K.
Yeah,
and
that's
kind of
rough.
Came out.
And she was like huffing and puffing doing it.
Oh,
so it's
yeah,
kind of
she
like,
was really winded.
But it's like you're editing. Like you can't just you know like cut 2 minutes and then you know go into the interview.
They showed video footage of Aldis backstage at Ring of Honor before he went out and attacked. I like the dynamic with the Pope, Eddie Kingston, and Homicide. What Pope's role is in NWA is very interesting.
It's still undefined to me.
What his role is.
Yeah.
Yes, and I like that. I like, with all no pun intended, the question mark there.
Like, Eddie Kingston is such a good, promo. He's such a good everything. That I was kind of curious as to why they put the Pope with them, because Eddie Kingston can do that job himself. So, like,
the Pope coming out, though, into NWA, it goes to something that I am a little concerned about. It's like, how many people are they going to really start adding and adding and adding to this promotion at this point?
I love it. I think the Pope is super talented.
I love it. I've got nothing against the Pope, but the only thing I'm seeing here is, though, now you've got an hour's worth of television. And now you're really starting to bring in a lot of people.
They have pay-per-views, too, though.
I know, but with only an hour's worth of TV, is there going to be any kind of, like, oversaturation? Is there going to be a push for 2 hours? Like, I don't want to see NWA blow up so quickly. You know what I'm saying? Because that happens a lot when these promotions just start bringing everybody in and they start blowing up the times.
Well, you,
then
you
it kind of loses its charm and it just becomes another company.
You had the same concern when they brought in the TV title.
Yeah, about, and I still
on,
do.
To multiple championships in this company.
Yeah.
With only an hour of television.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's something to be said for that, I guess. But at the same time, it's what is it? It's YouTube, right?
Yeah. No, you're right. Fair
can't
enough.
They,
not...
Can't they? Don't they have their own restraints? They don't have any real guidelines.
True, they don't, but I don't want to see it becoming like a 2-hour show and then it's going to be like, well, is everything going to suffer because it's a 2-hour show? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It could just be me.
Ladies and gentlemen, hey, joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he's the voice of the NWA, with all due respect to Dave Marquez,
oh,
Mr.
Boy.
Joe Galli. Joe, how are you tonight?
Joe!
I'm doing just fine. Thanks for waiting for me, guys. Sorry I had a little bit of a setback. We had some breaking news here in San Antonio. I had to do some live reports for our friends up in Austin, but happy to be on the program.
We were just talking NWA power, so...
Wait. Before you get to that, could you let our listeners in on what the breaking news in San Antonio was?
Well, we actually had a shooting last night at a bar at the world-famous Riverwalk down here in San Antonio. Two people were killed. 5 others were sent to the hospital. But homicide detectives were able to track down the shooter, the lead shooter, 19-year-old Kiernan Williams. And I got to interview him as we did a perp walk at about 4 o'clock my time. So it was right before our 5 o'clock turn. But he said that he did the shooting in self-defense, said the other guy had a gun, and was pretty adamant about promoting his own Instagram page and his own musical career, although I don't know how good the musical career is going to go if he ends up getting convicted for 2 counts of capital murder.
Well,
wow.
Well, Joe, this is exactly how we want to start a professional wrestling podcast.
No, but you know what, though?
Talking about local homicides in the San Antonio area.
Yeah, but that's good news overall. I mean, they caught the guy, and the guy sounds like a complete idiot, so I'm glad they're bringing him to justice.
Oh, yeah, man. We were checking out his Instagram page. He's one of those cats that puts a lot of pictures of himself with guns. He's a rapper, and all of his rap songs are about shooting other people. So, you know, I guess you're going to live that life.
Unbelievable.
That is super wild. And that actually brings up a first question for me to you. We want to talk about NWA power, clearly, obviously. But just as a reporter, as a journalist, it seems like over the history of time in professional wrestling, that trend seems to happen where you got, whether it's a Scott Stanford, whether it's a Michael Cole, whether it's a you know, Sean Mooney.
Sean Mooney, yeah, yeah.
That the, mm-hmm. like, that announcers tend to either come or navigate to news reporting. What is it about that relationship between pro wrestling and story and I guess reporting that is there? Is it the passion of telling stories? Is it about the passion to inform? What is the correlation?
I think that it's a combination of a couple of things, and I think one is a lot of pro wrestling wants to have a good professional broadcast. In the same way when you watch Sunday Night Football or the Super Bowl and you got guys like Joe Buck and all those other guys out there, you want to make sure that you have a good, responsible, professional voice, at least for one of them. And then you're going to have your color guy that's going to have a little bit more fun with folks. And that's typically been the way that a lot of professional wrestling has been structured as far as commentary goes. So you're going to look for a lot of those guys. And then you end up finding guys like myself and like Sean Mooney, and I'll give you guys some breaking news as far as NWA Power goes. You might see a special surprise from Mr. Mooney coming up on this week's episode of NWA Power. So that is breaking news as a exclusive just for you gentlemen there that you get, you're going to be able to see Sean Mooney. So it's interesting that you brought him up because it looks like he's going to be joining part of our programming as well. So exactly what he's going to be doing, well, you got to tune in tomorrow at 6:05 on YouTube to find out. But I think about being a broadcaster and then being part of professional wrestling, I think a lot of it kind of goes hand in hand. And then, you know, everybody, so many people are fans of professional wrestling that there's going to be reporters and there's going to be people out there that know how to hold a mic and know how to tell a story, and they're going to want to be a part of it. And so that's how you get guys like myself or John Roberts or, like you mentioned, Michael Cole or any of those guys in there. And then, of course, Dave Marquez, as you mentioned before, he has a lot of background in broadcast news as well. Right. And then he transferred that over into his skills that he's worked at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, as well as working for the Walt Disney Company as well. So, you know, it's everything just kind of gravitates towards that. And the skill sets are so similar that when you start working at one, it's just going to make the other one better. So one hand washes the other, and you end up making out a pretty decent career in both news and wrestling.
Wow. Breaking news. Sean Mooney.
That's amazing.
NWA Power. Let me ask you this, though, real quick. Mm-hmm. You may have touched on it. You may not have. Does the fandom have to be there? Is that a necessity to transfer from one career to being in pro wrestling? Pro wrestling? Do you have to be a fan to make it work?
I think it certainly helps. I think it would be very difficult for me to call rugby. I'm not a big rugby fan, so I wouldn't be able to understand the terminology and what's going on, and I'd have to study it for a while. And even then, I mean, I think people can understand when someone's being genuine and when they're kind of faking it and pushing their way through. You know, I'm a football fan to a certain extent, but I never played in high school or college or anything like that. You couldn't put me in the booth for a college football game and expect me to perform at the level that a lot of those guys are. So I think it is important that you are a fan just right. in the fact that you need to be really knowledgeable about the product itself. Otherwise, you're going to say something wrong or you're going to say something dumb. And a lot of those smart marks out there, they'll just tear you a new butthole on Twitter for sure.
And you're 100% right, because at one end of the spectrum, you have your Mauro Ranallos and guys like yourself. And then you have maybe like a Mike Adamley, with all due respect to him, just didn't know enough about wrestling to call it believably. Do you see that as part of the issue?
I see that as it certainly can be. And when you talk about guys like Mauro Ranallo, boy, is he so on point. I mean, I think he is the best in the business right now that's doing comedy. And I think a lot of that goes to his preparation and his experience. I mean, he's the kind of guy that fills out huge amounts of legal pads with notes and different ideas, and not only making pop culture references, but really knowing pro wrestling, like basically being that encyclopedia of pro wrestling, especially for what he's doing over at NXT. And I think it comes across, and I think there's a lot of fans that really connect with it. There are some fans that are not fans of Mauro Ranallo in the way that he calls things, but I'll tell you, I certainly am. And there's a lot that I can learn, and a lot of other people out there that might be starting in this business that can learn from Mauro Ranallo and his journey. Well, not only you're talking about guys that come from a broadcasting background, I mean, to be able to cover all types of combat sports and then also come back and do it at level of WWE, it's pretty incredible.
We're on the line with Joe Galley. Give him a follow on the Twitter machine, at Joe Galley News. You talk about wrestling encyclopedias, and you got to spend the first half, or the first season, more or less, with Jim Cornette, and then it transitioned over to Stu Bennett, who was doing an unbelievable job.
Yep.
Does it surprise you how good Stu is at being a commentator? Because in the past, you've seen wrestlers who don't necessarily translate well into the commentating position.
It didn't surprise me that he was good. That I knew going in as soon as David Lagana gave me the Iggy that that's who was going to be replacing Jim. I knew we were in good hands. The only question I had is whether or not we would have chemistry. And because that's something that's just got to happen and be organic. And you could be two very, very good broadcasters, but if you don't have good chemistry together and you end up stepping on each other's lines and doing all kinds of other stuff, or if you genuinely don't like each other or something like that, it can come across that way. But I tell you, I mean, we hit the ground running, and I knew within the first minute of NWA Power on that first episode that he was on that this was going to be fine and this was going to be good. And it just got better from there. So there was that immediate spark that I didn't know was going to happen. We didn't know. I had some opportunity to talk to him in the back, and we were going over notes, and we were going to go over how we structured certain things and who's going to talk about this and who's going to talk about that. But, you know, you don't know it. You don't know how the temperature of the pool till you jump in. And then we jumped in, and it was nice and warm and fine.
And NWA Power is a breath of fresh air in terms of the professional wrestling business right now. And you seem like the kind of guy that can have chemistry with just about anybody that they put next to you. Did they see that? Did they notice that right away with you when they gave you this position?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. When they originally were thinking about this program was several years ago. I mean, we're talking all the way back to the very first episode of the 10 Pounds of Gold series that featured Tim Storm as the champion. And he came to Championship Wrestling from Hollywood when I was doing commentary there. And I was working at the time with Johnny LaQuasto, who now goes by John Quasto, and he's been doing commentary on 205 Live as of late. And it only took a couple of those episodes of the 10 Pounds of Gold series for Dave Lagana and Billy Corgan to pull me aside and say, we really like what you're doing. We like your style. I think that they sort of saw that Gordon Solie sort of feel that I kind of brought to the table. And they're like, we've got big plans coming up, and they didn't even know what it was going to be called or whatever. They're like, we're just going to keep pushing this brand, and we want you to be a part of it and be a voice of it. I don't like to say the voice because I am a voice. There's so many voices. I mean, everybody picks up a mic could be considered the voice of the National Wrestling Alliance, including our champions. But being a voice of it, and I said, sure, let's go. Let's rock and roll. And that's how I got into this position, you know, with the work that I did at the Crockett Cup and the 70th anniversary show, and they're like, let's keep this rolling.
Now, Joe, I'm in no position to tell anybody how to do their job, but as someone who's concerned for your well-being, I think it's time we stop barking up that Camille tree because we saw what she did to Tim Storm. She could go off and take Joe out, and I can't watch an NWA Power without Joe Galley behind the desk.
Well, you know, sometimes you need to take risks as a journalist.
There you go.
There are certain times when you need to really, you know, put your safety on the line because information is that important. And I'm going to keep pushing, and I'm going to get answers. I think we've gotten pretty much all those answers to those particular questions have kind of played themselves out in what we're seeing now with Strictly Business and Scott Steiner coming on the show and the plans that Nick Aldis has had to this point. That's pretty much all that stuff's been answered. But now it's, you know, as soon as you think you have all the answers, they change the question.
Speaking
we're going to keep working and try to work some things on there. And, you know, sometimes I have to be abrasive in order to get these answers from a lot of these professional wrestlers. And you might see that coming up with certain interviews that I might have with perhaps the champion Aaron Stevens, who at this point has not defended the NWA National Championship, even though he's had plenty of opportunities to do so. So you might see some things coming up I might be disagreeable to some of the talent, but I think that there's a lot of questions out there that fans deserve answers to, and if I got to stick my neck out there, then I'm going to do it.
Any inside information on the question mark yet? He's actually one of the characters that people seem to be gravitating to outside of Aaron Stevens and all his involvement.
Well, I mean, I tell you, I don't think that we had any idea of the firestorm that would be the Mongrovian karate master. You can really, in professional wrestling, you can gauge success by a lot of ways. The way people, how many people tune into a show, the reaction that you get from a crowd. But you can also see how successful a character is based on t-shirt sales. And his karate t-shirts are one of the fastest selling products that the NWA has ever had.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Where now? Where,
much,
exact, where
yeah,
exactly?
Yeah, how much
did you
based them?
Where exactly did you, in your timeline of your life, fall in love with professional wrestling? Because NWA is clearly studio wrestling, traditional professional wrestling product. And you're a young guy. Where exactly do you fall in terms of what you interpret as great professional wrestling?
Well, you know, I'm 32. And so I fell in love with wrestling during the Attitude Era, watching pro wrestling, you know, watching the very first episodes of Friday Night SmackDown, you know, with my dad on the couch. And then later on, I had a group of friends in high school that were very much into WWE at the time. And, you know, that's sort of the end of the Attitude Era, the beginning of like what's called the John Cena sort of era in there. And, you know, we were so into it at the time that we were doing the backyard stuff that you're not supposed to do. But it's always been just sort of, as a fan, watching it up until, I guess it's over 10 years ago at this point, my best friend Brandon Taylor, who works for New Japan Pro Wrestling in their LA dojo and also wrestles under the name Robert Baines, and this is really going to show my age. He found an ad in a paper, in an actual newspaper in Los Angeles for a wrestling school. And it was a 2-for-1 coupon attached for it. And he said, "You want to go?" And I was like, "All right." And at the time, I mean, I wasn't athletic at all. I mean, I didn't work out. I was never did sports in high school. And I went there as a doughy, weird kid. And I did that first class, and I immediately fell in love with the art of pro wrestling. And so from that point on, it was just, all right, this is part of my life, and this is what I'm doing. And so I was a worker for a number of years, and I had just like this terrible, gross underwear model gimmick. It's basically Joey Ryan's gimmick. Just significantly worse and not any type of appealing to it. I was, you know, skinny arms, no definition. It was bad. It was something Jim Cornette would definitely hate, to be honest with you. I transitioned into broadcasting. At that time, I didn't even know I was going to be a journalist either. And I had just gotten a job as a reporter. It was sort of a fun, goofy morning reporter spot at a station. Get these call letters. You guys will like this. It was WNWO. In Toledo, Ohio.
For life.
Too sweet.
I know, right? And I was like, too sweet. And I was like, and so that's when I started to slow down as a professional wrestler, speed up as a journalist, and then the two finally married together when I moved back to California, and I was working as a reporter for the ABC station in Palm Springs while working at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood.
Excellent. We're on the line with Joe Galli at Joe Galli News on the Twitter machine. Tomorrow night, the go-home episode of NWA Power on YouTube 605. We're heading towards hard times, and we don't want to overlook that. But more importantly, Nick Aldis invades Ring of Honor two weeks ago, and now we have this interpromotional match taking place Friday night. Ring of Honor clearly is not going to just let this fall by the wayside. As an announcer, is there any concern for your well-being, your safety, knowing that there's a good possibility that Flip Gordon is not going to show up by himself this Friday night at Hard Times?
Look, I wouldn't expect Flip Gordon to show up by himself, especially since his connection with Villain Enterprises. And we all know the long history that not only he has, but he also has, that Nick Aldis has, with the leader of Villain Enterprises, Marty Scurll. Mm-hmm. And we know that Marty Scurll is also going to be at our Sunday taping. of the show there. So it would not surprise me if Marty actually came in a couple of days early and perhaps brings Brody King and PCO with him. I think that that's sort of expected. And even Nick Aldis alluded to that in his promo once he was ejected from the arena at Ring of Honor. He told Flip, show up, I'm having a match with you, but bring whoever you like. So I think we're anticipating that there's going to be a lot of chaos there. But as far as my safety goes, I feel pretty good. I'm next to Stu. You know, he's a big guy. I don't think anybody's going to come mess with us. And, you know, if Ian Riccaboni wants to show up and put up a fight, you know, him and I can go toe-to-toe. We'll have a tuxedo match and see how that goes.
That's awesome.
I'd be down for that.
I like it.
Can you speak to how this relationship between, this resurgence of this relationship between Ring of Honor and NWA benefits not only Ring of Honor, but your company, the NWA, as well? Like, how does this relationship now super beneficial?
Well, I think what it does is it just elevates both brands. I mean, it's no secret out there that there is one big top dog wrestling company that exists in the world today, or at least in America today, and that's World Wrestling Entertainment. But we've got a lot of other things out there with AEW and Ring of Honor and us, and to a lesser extent Impact. And I think that we're really making a lot of noise out there. And I think the more that we can do to work together, the more fans that we're going to get that are going to cross-pollinate, and it's going to lead to better matches, and it's going to lead to more money, ultimately, for everyone. I mean, you have to keep in mind that the NWA is the only weekly televised professional wrestling show that's not currently owned by a billionaire. You know, Billy Corgan's got a few bucks in his pocket, but he's no Tony Khan and he's no Vince McMahon. So you got to work with what you've got. And then you got to try to build partnerships with people. And that's just going to make everything better in the long run.
How much do Dave Lagana and Billy Corgan leave up to you guys or up to the talent? Like, I'm assuming it's, you know, this is bullet points. This is where we're heading. But is anybody in your ear constantly feeding you like, hey, say this, maybe talk about that? Or do they trust you and Stu and Dave and just let you guys run and do what you need to do to, you know, to bring the stories across and to tell the stories accurately?
It's very much the latter. I think they rarely, if ever, mentioned anything in my ear to say something, despite maybe a specific stat that they wanted to get over that I hadn't mentioned yet, perhaps like, Nick Aldis has been champion for 486 days or something to that. But as far as story goes, I mean, we're very good at having meetings beforehand and knowing where we're going. And I think the best part about the NWA, and I think Billy Corgan said this a number of times, is he wants to bring all of these really good elements together, and he wants us to go out there and play our music. And that means just jamming out there. And so he's given a lot of faith and a lot of leeway to the talent that he's hired. And that includes me, and that includes Stu, and that includes everybody who's in the ring. And so they're certainly not micromanaging anything. And I think we're all on the same platform. We all have the same ideas as to where we want things to go. And it's all a very cooperative effort there. And that's why it's so great to have talents there with enormous amounts of experience in this, guys like Dave Marquez, Stu Bennett, and then of course all of our champions. And I mean, just look at the Rock and Roll Express. Think of how much you could learn from Robert Gibson and Ricky Morton. I mean, these guys have been in the business for so long. They have so much to share, and it's not just in tag team wrestling. It's also is stuff like commentary and cutting promos and all kinds of other stuff. I have learned so much in the time doing NWA Power. I never expected to, you know, I knew I was going to go in and do a job, but I feel like it got progressively better, and it's only going to get progressively better as we continue on with this program.
We can absolutely tell every week, you know, when we tune in, how comfortable you guys are working together and how well it all gels and it all seems to move. A lot of new talent's been coming in. I mean, I know when you started out, you had like young guys like your Ricky Starks. You know, I know you bring in your Caleb Conleys, and you know, there's a story with Trevor Murdoch who was trying to get a contract for a couple of weeks. Who right now on the roster has impressed you the most? Like, who is it that you look at and you're like, I could see big things from this person, or this person, like, you know, never had that opportunity, now they do, and now they're really getting a chance to shine. Who in your eyes is like making the bigger name for themselves in the NWA right now?
Well, I think it's no secret that the one wrestler that's really captured the hearts of people that, that sort of nobody really expected it would be Thunder Rosa. I think a lot of people have really been turned on by the skills that she has in the ring and just her presence when she comes in there. I mean, she's not a very large woman, but I mean, you just feel this intensity from the second she walks out of the curtain, and then her matches are all incredible. That being said, I feel like every single person on our roster is a rock star, especially in our women's division when you have our NWA World's Women's Champion, Allison Kay. And, you know, to be honest, there's a lot of people on our roster that have been given an opportunity to shine in other companies. You know, your guys like Ken Anderson and Eli Drake and Colt Cabana. I mean, these are guys that win championships all over the world, and they constantly do that. But they've all chosen to come and be a part of NWA, NWA Power, and all of the pay-per-views that we put together. So I think as far as dark horses that are going to come out and you're going to start to see more of, I mean, I love Caleb Conley, but you also have to keep in mind, Caleb Conley's been doing this for over a decade too. I mean,
yes.
Nobody there is new. I mean, everybody that's there, I mean, even if you take guys like D-Man Dan Parker, who in all honesty is partially responsible for the rise and the popularity of the question mark because he was his first opponent. And he took that Mongrovian spike and it nearly took his head off. I mean, he went inside out with that thing. And I think that that's something that was really appealing to people. And I mean, even Dan Parker right now, he's been in this business. It's got to be close to a decade now. And even today, if you go on Barstool Sports, he's got another viral video out there where he takes a 450 splash from a guy with no arms and no legs. And that's not the first time that he's had very, very success, a lot of success on the internet. I think he took a Canadian destroyer from a Tickle Me Elmo, or I guess I just did Elmo, a full-size Elmo. And so you've got all these guys out there that know how to be entertaining and know how to be a character. And I think that's the most important thing when it comes to NWA is everybody there knows who they are. And they have an identity and they have goals and you see that. And I think that that is so important in pro wrestling is you have to be able to know who this person is and what they want to do and what they're trying to do so you can know to either love or hate them. And that's what's so great about our show.
And you just kind of answered my question that I have now is that a lot of these guys, you mentioned Ken Anderson, Colt Cabana, James Storm, a lot of these guys are finding, I guess for lack of a better term, new life in NWA. And sometimes that can come across as condescending or, you know, not as great as where they could be. But to me, NWA doesn't feel that way. Is there a morale in that locker room where, like, these guys aren't getting second chances? They're getting, like, I guess first chances or just really amplifying what they can do?
I think the attitude in the locker room is everybody there knows we're a part of something very special. Mm-hmm. It's very different. It's new. And it's something that a lot of people are really, really getting turned on to. And so I think a lot of people in their minds, you know, all of the big journeys that they've had, whether it's, you know, people with long storied careers like ODB or your Ken Anderson,
right.
It's all led to this moment here, and we're just in the very, very beginning stages of something that could be very, very profitable, last for a long time, and can constantly evolve. You know, NWA Power, I get a lot of questions a lot. Where do you see it in like 5 years? And that's really hard to answer that question because I don't think we were expecting to be here where we are so fast. And so I could see us evolving very, very quickly and going ahead and doing a lot of shows outside of that GPB studio, like we've already done with the Crockett Cup and the 70th anniversary show. But I feel like everybody knows that this is something that's very special. It's very different and it's growing. And when I say it's growing, not only is it growing in the viewership, but we also have a much larger staff this second season than we did the first season. It's a lot of people that you don't see on camera as a support staff that are all super integral to getting that show together. And I feel like that's going to continue to grow as well. And when you start bringing in all this additional talent, whether it's behind the scenes or in the ring, it's just going to make everything so much better. And it's going to put us up on that pedestal of where we are a brand to talk about when it comes to pro wrestling. and we're just on that same level as everybody else, whether it be New Japan or ROH or whoever, like, you talk about wrestling, you got to talk about NWA.
And we're talking NWA Power with Joe Galli at Joe Galli News on the Twitter machine. If you're not following Joe, follow him. He is not only the one of the voices of the NWA Power show on YouTube every Tuesday at 6:05. He is also a journalist for San Antonio News for SA. So definitely follow Joe. Joe, I don't necessarily expect you to give me an answer, but if you could lean one way or the other, there's a couple TBAs for this television title tournament.
Oh boy.
On Friday night, and I'm very excited about this, and I know they're going to be announced tomorrow. We do our wrestling picks on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Anything we maybe should know about before we make our picks tonight? Because there's a lot of dark horses in this tournament, a lot of potential. I think Ricky Starks could be everyone that's in the TV tournament, I would not be upset with them winning the TV tournament. I just need to make a decisive pick, and maybe Joe Galli can give us a little news.
On the TBDs?
On the TBDs.
Well,
I know. I didn't know
about that
one.
I'll tell you this. I'm not going to step on what we have announced or what we're going to be announcing tomorrow. Because that's all put together, and I don't want to step on myself because I'm the one that makes the announcement. so I'm not going to step on myself, but I will tell you, these are going to be professional wrestlers that you are very familiar with, that are both exceptional at what they do. And when I say what they do, I mean both working a microphone and being in the ring. And I certainly wouldn't want to pick a fight with either of them. And so I think you're going to really like what we're going to share with you tomorrow as part of our super kickoff show as we head closer to hard times. And believe me, it's going to be worth the wait and worth the surprise.
I'm so excited.
I'm excited too. Let me ask you one thing. We don't want to keep you too much longer. This is something that's always been kind of on my mind in terms of Billy Corgan. I don't know what your relationship is with him necessarily, but how super passionate is he about professional wrestling and making NWA a legit brand? Like, how passionate is he about the sport?
You know, some people could look at what Billy Corgan's doing right now and think that, oh, this is just a fun side project for him. And maybe it's a tax write-off or whatever, but it's not that at all. Billy Corgan is extremely knowledgeable when it comes to pro wrestling. He has been passionate about pro wrestling his entire life. He said it on a number of occasions during interviews that he's done with folks that it's so important to him, and he wanted to do something different, and he wanted to do something special. And he has a 5, 10, 15, and 20-year plan for this business. And, you know, I think what you're going to see out of Billy Corgan, I mean, what comes out of his mind, I mean, between him and Dave Lagana, I mean, that's really the driving force that you have with NWA and NWA Power. And they're both so knowledgeable about what they want to see and what we were able to do and the stories that we're trying to tell. This is no side project for Billy Corgan. He's one of the busiest guys on planet Earth, and he's just going to be more busy putting out more content that we have here. So between him and Dave Lagana, I mean, they're going full force at this. And, I mean, at the same time, you're going to have Billy Corgan doing, you know, solo shows across the country and doing all that other kind of stuff and coming out with albums and all kinds of other stuff. But pro wrestling is first and foremost in his mind. And you can look back at this time that he spent at TNA, and you could see that's where he met Dave Lagana and where that relationship started. And now with what we have here at NWA Power, I mean, the guy knows his stuff. He understands telling a story, and he understands entertainment. And he wants us all to be rock stars just like he is.
He's doing God's work, that guy.
Absolutely. And I think I can speak for the three of us when I say NWA Power is definitely a our favorite show of the week. I mean, we watch so much wrestling because we do a wrestling podcast, but Tuesday 6:05, you can know all three of us are tuned in, amped up. Tony brought hard times like 3 weeks ago. Like, he's jacked to the gills for it.
Never miss an episode, man. It's the only show I could tell you truthfully and honestly, I've never missed an episode of Power.
At this Friday night, Fight TV, you want to get that Hard Times pay-per-view. It's the best bang for your buck. No pun intended. I'm not trying to steal gimmicks from the Young Bucks. But, man, they put out an unbelievable show. Into the Fire was a home run, and I expect nothing less at a Hard Times. Joe Galli, Stu Bennett, arguably, in my opinion, and I don't take compliments well, so I understand if you don't take this well, one of, if not the best commentary duo on TV right now.
Probably the best.
They're up there.
Well, I do appreciate that, and I think we do a hell of a job, and I think it comes down to the amount of preparedness that we do. And to be honest, when you're I've done commentary for not only NWA, but Championship Wrestling for Hollywood and a number of other smaller independent wrestling. And every once in a while, you're calling matches, and it's difficult because the wrestling's not good. Mm-hmm. But at NWA, all of our matches are good, and it makes my job so much easier. It's so much easier when the action's fantastic and the storylines make sense and everything's believable and everybody's great inside that ring. It really just makes it to where I get to go out there and just do my thing. And it's so good because the wrestling's so good. That's what I love most about it.
That's the truth.
I think we're all in the same boat. We love what the NWA is doing. Joe, before we let you go, at Joe Galli News on the Twitter, give him a follow. He's doing amazing things inside the wrestling business and outside. If you caught the first half of our interview, he never stops working. Putting you on the spot, Joe.
I'm working right now. I'm in the parking lot of my TV studio. I got to go in and write a whole bunch of web scripts and all kinds of other stuff.
So. All right, well, we're going to let you go.
One of those things. 365.
NWA World Television Title Tournament. Who's Joe Galli's pick?
Who's my pick?
You like that Zicky Dice with that giant tattoo over his belly button?
You know what? I followed Zicky Dice's career for a very long time. As a matter of fact, if you go all the way back to the original episodes of the 10 Pounds of Gold, he has challenged Tim Storm for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. And that Zicky Dice is very different than the current Zicky Dice because I think he's close to 100 pounds heavier. That guy is leaner and meaner, and I wouldn't put it past him for him to be able to make it all the way in this tournament for sure.
And before we let you go, I'm sorry, I got another. Just, I think we can all agree, the unsung hero of NWA, Tim Storm. I mean, good God. He really carried that 10 pounds of gold into that CZW show where he lost to Nick Aldis. And then the feud with Nick and with Cody and Tim being, I mean, it just really helped solidify the NWA. And
Camille hit him twice already.
You got to watch out, Joe.
She's tough, man.
She's a bad apple, bro.
That's true. I tell you, there's no better baby face in the business right now than Tim Storm. And
Mama Storm.
He could easily be another pick for the TV title tournament. I mean, he's already been a world champion, so you can't put it past him that he could end up putting that strap around his waist. I mean, he put Royce Isaacs to bed in very decisive fashion. And Royce, he's no slouch. I mean, he's a former tag team champion. He's been a champion at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood a number of times, and Tim Storm was able to go through him in under 6 minutes and 5 seconds. So if you got a guy like Tim Storm, it's almost impossible for him not to be a pick. That's the problem with this.
Yep.
It's so hard to make a good pick with this because the amount of talent that's in this tournament.
I think I have the winner. Stu Bennett.
What?
Ooh.
What? Well,
Kevin.
I'm coming out with it hot right now. I'm going hot.
Well, it's pro wrestling. Stranger things have happened. I'll tell you that much.
Joe, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time tonight. We look forward to seeing you on NWA Power tomorrow on YouTube at 6:05 and Friday night on the Fight TV app for Hard Times. Before we let you go, anything you want to leave your fans with?
No, just that, man. Pre-order that pay-per-view. It's $19.99. Buy it now. Own it forever. Watch it as many times as you like.
Beautiful. Joe, thank you so much again for your time. Enjoy the rest of your night. Don't work too hard, and we will talk to you in the near future, my friend.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, Joe. Hey, Joe Galli at Joe Galli News on the Twitter machine. Give him a follow. He never stops working.
What a great
just
interview.
Like the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We're always doing work. Can we finish the NWA before we jump into a commercial break, Tony?
Sure, if you want to spoil the commercial break, sure, go
Well, let's just finish. Let's wrap the NWA up.
All right, let's wrap
it
up and put a bow. Yeah, there you go.
We didn't really cover the Aaron Stevens question mark match. They took on Eddie Kingston and Homicide, and he used the question mark, used the Mongrovian spike against Eddie Kingston.
The double, didn't he?
Yeah, double.
He doubled it up.
And they worked Homicide's shoulder. There was a great story that they told during
the
match.
Well, Homicide's stupid. No offense to Homicide.
Whoa, don't say that too loud.
He came out, and they're like, are you medically cleared? He's like, I'm good. It's like, no, dude, you're not good. Why are you getting in the ring? I felt bad. I'm like, Homicide, you're going to get messed up. Don't get in.
I'll tell you what, Homicide's shoulder tape job, much better than Flying Brian Pillman Jr.'s shoulder tape
What
job.
About DDP's rib job on AEW?
I don't know if that was his rib job. I think it was his tights. I couldn't figure out what
I
that was.
I couldn't tell what it was either, to be honest with you. Love DDP. I thought it was a play on because he always used to wear the bandages.
I did too, and I'm like, why is he taped? And then I'm looking, I'm like, maybe it's his gear got rolled up or something? I don't know.
Yeah, but there's two different colors. It was like a tan and a white.
And then we finished off Team Morton, Robert Gibson, Eli Drake, and Tim Storm were the mystery partners. Took on Latimer, Royce Isaacs, and Scott Steiner. Royce Isaacs is going to fall into bad favor with Nick Aldis because he's the one who keeps getting pinned.
Can I tell you something that I might have a little bit of an issue with?
Valentine?
With NWA.
Boy. Now that Joe's off the line.
No, listen, it's my favorite show. I've said it many
now
times.
Now Kevin's talking.
It's my favorite. When you have these big kind of announcements... and they just walk out of a curtain, there was no reaction for Eli Drake. There was no reaction. There was a little bit of a reaction for Tim Storm. But when they were announced as the mystery partners, like, it's just like, you got to have, like...
Coming, yeah.
Are you serious?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Is this you or him? Is this Matt or Tony? If this is Matt, then I'm
Correct.
Upset. If it's Tony,
Ding.
I expect it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, now I'm upset. Yeah.
See?
Suck on that, Hollis!
Wait, what's wrong, Kevin?
The fuck are you talking about?
I'm pissed now!
Stupid fucking question, Kevin.
Fuck this whole thing.
Fuck every single one of you two motherfuckers.
Back after this. We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at InconclusivePod or Facebook.com/InconclusiveBreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old-school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
I bet you like masturbate to this music, huh?
God, why?
Dokken? Yeah. I fucking love Dokken.
No,
dude.
This song in particular. Like when he's going like, you weave your spell, you're like, go.
No, I wait till it gets to the course, dude.
Oh, yeah. Into the fire!
I'm not that fast.
Like, why does that even come in your head?
You said come in.
All right, I believe it. Didn't even mean that.
Misery!
All right. Yeah. Let's take a minute to thank those that support us over at the Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. If you enjoy what you're listening to, head on over, check out the tiers. For as little as $1 a month, you can support the Shining Wizards podcast. And with that $1, we will mention your name every week on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, heard in 12 countries, over thousands of downloads per week. And we have guests like Joe Galley from the NWA. Last week, did we have a guest last week?
Mark Adam Haggerty
was here.
Dummy, yeah.
We got Jordan Oliver from MLW next week is joining us.
Hot take.
Jordan Oliver calling into the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. 15 WWE Hall of Famers have done the show, and the list continues to grow. For as little as $1 a month, we will plug you on the show.
Cheaper than supporting the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
That's right. $3 a month, you get a plug, and you get our monthly watch-alongs. $5 a month, you get both those things, and we'll plug your podcast, your website, whatever you're promoting, as long as it's respectable. We're not going to, we're not going to promote, like, Japanese people throwing pigs off a bungee cord or some crazy shit like that.
Throwing pigs off a bungee cord.
Well, that's what they did at an amusement park, bro.
They put a pig on
a bungee cord and they threw it off the thing at an amusement park in Japan.
Why are you telling the people this?
Because I'm telling you, we won't promote that.
Zip zap, zip zap, zip
zap. Hell yeah!
Give me that Renee Young. Zip zap, zip zap.
I don't have it.
Oh, really?
I haven't added everything to the board yet. All right. Still figuring shit out.
And as you go higher in the tiers, you get more perks. You get boxes of wizardry. You get to be a part of the weekly email that goes out. You ask questions for the guests. You get a promo code for ProWrestlingTees.com. So let's start with the queen of the Shining Wizards, Miss Kathy Hummer. We got Manny Crockville, the king of the Shining Wizards. We got Cindy Ardone, the smoke show. We got the AOP, Danny and Anthony Russinello.
That's right.
Mike Martinelli. Ryan Arthur over at the elementary.com. That's with an ALEMENTARY.com. Great. Local beer here in New Jersey. Check them out, elementary.com.
Beer here. Home of the Shining Wizards 8th anniversary show, by the way.
Sean Toe, Sean Calejo.
The Shawns.
Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Kate the Great Hensler, ondeckic.com.
Enjoy that Jericho cruise,
that's
kid.
Right. I told her to wear the Shining Wizard shirt and get lots of liners, so Tony, you might have some competition. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG.
Nope.
Mr. Matt Mellinger.
Melielli.
Kenny Hossie, Scotch Drinksmore, who...
Yeah, and how dare you, Scotch Drinksmore, side with Kevin over me? How dare you, sir?
Listen, he hates me, so that's a real deal thing.
No kidding. I don't even know what my how dare you button is. I hate this fucking computer.
Kenny Hossie.
Hossie!
Kareen Jensen, the spicy chick from the Radioactive Metal Podcast. She is a
big fan.
Heavy metal website, excuse me, loudandfierce.com.
How dare you?
Thomas Copps, the Moot Spock. Benjamin Martinez.
That's the ultimate warrior.
Yes.
Fucking whore.
The only person worthy of listening to on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Big Cop of Pump, J Cop. Danny Douglas from DeathmatchOutlaws.com.
That's right. Good old Danny from overseas.
Christine Friesendorf. We've reunited the Sign Girls.
Yes.
That's big.
That's awesome.
And, of course, the one and only William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Thanks, Matt.
I know what you mean. And we had such a good time with the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, even though we hate...
Fuck you, Tony.
Even, it's wow. Not me, it's him.
What are you getting so ornery for? Everyone's ornery on this side of the room.
Correct! Ding! I don't know. He riled something out of
me. Really did. It's always you and him.
I know, but it's weird. He's like my favorite guy. So it's weird.
You cocksucker!
It's a bit offensive.
No.
Favorite guy? Jesus, Kevin.
Stop.
Fuck off.
We all know the real truth.
Yeah.
In your face!
I had a joke
the
there.
The fuck are you talking about?
We had such a good time with the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, minus Choppy. We hope he gets fired. Or we hope he fucking gets into a coma and he
There's
never
your job.
You and Choppy are going to have to throw down.
I just challenged him to a barefoot thumbtack match, and he doesn't want any part of it.
Mark wannabe. Get out of here.
But we had so much fun with Jay and Phil that we decided we're going to bring back our Wizards Weekly Rewind. And instead of just deciding, like, oh, let's do one. There are no laws when you're drinking.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
Don't you dare play that shit. Don't mention his name. Don't let mean.
You mentioned his name already.
Don't let the Mean Gene from the grave mention his name.
Mean Gene from the grave.
He's not alive, so he's dead.
I guess.
So what we're going to do every month or every couple weeks, each one of us is going to pick a show. We're going to give ourselves 2 weeks to watch it, and then we're going to talk about it. So February 3rd, be sure to tune in. I'm very excited about this. I like new things. Tony has the first pick of what we have to watch.
Matt.
Yeah.
Do you have... Are you prepared to how bad this is going to be?
My only concern is...
It's got to be the network, right? Or no?
It's got to be something that people can access so they can watch it. So if he picks like...
And it's not a watch-along.
No, it's not. It's just
we watch it and then we're going to talk about it. So like, I think he wanted to go with like some weird like...
It's going
to
be some obscure...
Weird women's DVD that he had back there on the shelf and we kind of shut that down.
Oh, man.
And we shut that down.
Okay.
Oh, good for you. What are you to fucking...
It's going to be like NWA.
Yeah,
like...
That's what I am. All right. I'm ready. Are you ready?
I guess.
If you guys had to wager a guess, what would you think?
What would we
think? What would you think? Right, like, you think I'm going to pick something like stupid, outrageous, like messed up?
Stupid is a weird word.
Okay, well, it doesn't have to be stupid, but what do you think would be in my wheelhouse to pick?
Right, I think you're going to pick something that's like cringeworthy.
Did
like,
you pick a TV show or did you pick a pay-per-view?
I can't tell you that.
No, you can.
No, I can't tell you that yet. I'll tell you in a few minutes. I just want to know what you guys think I would have picked. Would you think I'd go like Great American Bash 91? Would you think I'm going like December to Dismember or some other obscure ECW pay-per-view?
That would have been mine if I got picked first.
Okay. I don't know what it is, isn't it?
I think you're doing something that's going to be cringeworthy and hard for us to watch, or it's going to have some monumental fuck-up somewhere at some point during the show where you can just make us sit through and then you already have an opinion on this.
I'm not going to guess. I want to hear it.
All right.
WrestleMania X7! One of the greatest pay-per-views, probably the greatest pay-per-view of all time.
So loud.
I know it's loud. I want to make sure everybody got that Limp Bizkit in their ears. This time I'm going to come out!
Oh, I can get down with this, brother.
Stone Cold challenges The Rock for his WWF Championship. Chris Jericho defends the IC belt against Lord William Regal. We got a hardcore
opener,
triple threat
match. I remember correctly.
Raven. Kane,
Big Show.
Well,
see, I remember this show so well. So
Taz
like,
and the APA taking on the Right to Censor. There's so much more. TLC 2, for God's sakes. You guys thought I was going shit. I said, fuck all y'all.
We're going hardcore.
One of the greatest pay-per-views of all time.
I kind of hope you were going shit because I remember this so well that I don't even really need to watch it.
WrestleMania X7.
I don't remember anything about this.
Oh, it's a fantastic show.
Is this Triple H Undertaker?
Is this Houston?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've seen the Triple H Undertaker match, but I think I might have been out by this.
Shane and Vince McMahon, shortly after the purchase of WCW by the younger McMahon man.
I was out.
This is regarded as arguably one of the best pay-per-views
ever.
Of all time.
Yep.
So I'm excited to watch it again.
This is cool. I'm excited for this.
I'll take any excuse to watch it. I've watched it recently, but I'll watch it again, baby.
I like this. Good pick, Tony.
I know, and you guys thought I was just going to pick some jackass shit.
I really did. I kind of wish it did.
Well, good. Then you guys will have the chance to,
I would pick some jackassery.
So, yeah, there we go.
I'm happy with that. I'm very excited about this.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you have 2 weeks to rewatch WrestleMania.
And you're going to need it because it's a nearly 4-hour show.
It's not nearly as much as they are now.
That's true. That's true. So we're giving you WrestleMania 17 Wizards Rewind February 3rd. And next Monday night, January 27th, Jordan Oliver is going to call in from Injustice MLW. We're going to talk about the Philly show happening February 1st. Tickets are still available at 2300.com.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, find them.
Something like that. I didn't pull it up. I just had it written down.
I had to pull up Limp Bizkit just to make that announcement tonight.
Limp Bizkit's not that bad.
No, they're not bad
at all.
They're
really good.
I enjoy them.
Actually,
you know what I hated?
Really good, maybe, and strong. What'd you hate? They're good.
When I lived out in Harrisburg, we used to go to karaoke nights on Thursday, and somebody would always fucking sing that Break Stuff song. It was the same guy every fucking week.
It's easy to karaoke.
It's a great song.
Everybody sucks. Everybody's fucked.
I like that song. Makes me want to break shit.
Ah. Great song. Great
100%.
Tune. Thanks to Hot Dogs and
Dogs and Hummers?
Chocolate Starfish. Chocolate covered starfish. And Hot Dogs.
No, Chocolate Starfish. And
Hot Dog and the Chocolate Flavored Waters is Chili Peppers, right?
No.
Or is that Limp Bizkit?
Limp Bizkit. I could do some research.
Hot Dog and the Chocolate Flavored Waters is either Limp Bizkit or Chili Peppers.
Hooray for Boobies was Bloodhound Gang.
Yes, Hooray for Boobies was Bloodhound Gang.
Limp Bizkit.
I think it's
Limp Bizkit was Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water.
There we go.
In 2000.
I was way off.
And that gave you such hits as My Generation, My Way, Rollin'.
Rollin' is a great song, dude. That was a taker. But that's the theme song to Hits 02 on the GameCube.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. When you pop that shit in, it's like, he rolling. And when the dude hits the goalie and the fucking glass shatters and everything turns to color, it's so great.
Limp Bizkit, very underrated in the wrestling contributions.
And people hate them. People fucking passionately hate Limp Bizkit.
They were good. No, in the time when they were successful, everyone loved them.
No, there was a lot of hate, dude. There was a lot of hate.
Everyone's subjective again, but
Chocolate Starfish.
I was in detention and I found that CD on like a windowsill and I took it.
Nice.
And I think I still have it.
I would have been taking it.
Yeah.
Chocolate Starfish.
Dude, Undertaker theme music? Like before, like, throw your hands up. Hands up and hands down.
Back up, back.
What you gonna do now? Wait,
Steve Corino hit. No, Steve Corino took a chair shot from Fred Durst
on stage at a concert
when he was in ECW.
Yeah.
Well, Billy Corgan was also involved.
It was a
ECW
concert
stuff too.
Oh yeah, Billy Corgan's been a long time wrestling guy. I just wanted to get his take, Joe's take on him personally.
I wonder if he does like acoustic sets for the guys,
like in the back.
Yeah, and they all sound like that fucking Stephen Lynch song.
Have a couple beers.
Watch them run.
No, the one where he does it.
You guys lost me.
Oh, man. You forgot about that song,
No,
huh?
I didn't forget about that song. I did go down like a weird Opie and Anthony hole the other night when I was driving home. I was like, I want to listen to some Opie and Anthony. And I found a website that just streamed their shows.
Isn't it great?
It's fan-fucking-tastic.
The old stuff, dude, nothing beats it. Nothing beats it. I used to have CDs in my Camaro when I used to drive the Camaro around. Just old fucking O&A bits.
The Camaro.
When they were on hiatus between NEW and XM, that's all I would do is listen to their old shit. Great stuff.
All right. So we got WrestleMania 17.
Yes.
We got Jordan Oliver. We still got to talk MLW, AEW.
Well, we got to get fucking moving, dude.
Wait, Kratza,
What did he say?
That's something you take up with him on the Twitter machine.
Fair enough.
AEW announced the other day that they have a 4-year deal worth $175 million in place, which gives them TV on TNT through 2024.
And
there's talk of a second show.
And that's going to be AEW going. They're going to move it to the.
Maybe.
That's
you can't call it dark.
We can't confirm
it. You can't call it dark anymore.
Why? It's still the dark matches.
Yeah, it's the dark matches. It has nothing to do with the lights being on.
Diamante tomorrow night on AEW Dark.
Saw that.
Ooh.
Against Big Swole.
Big Swole's not that big. I mean, I like Big Swole. I think she's sexy.
Oh.
But she's not, like, big.
Matt's got this thing where he
I've always wanted to bang a black.
Exactly.
I'll say it. I don't care.
And you never have.
No, I've never gotten
History of the show. He's mentioned that periodically.
I remember this now.
Very famously on the 100th episode, by the way.
I was really fucked up at the 100th episode.
And you missed out now, man.
Well, that was done. Yeah. I wonder if we could I don't think we could ever release that footage.
Matt had to think about it before he decided, I guess I'm done.
I mean, unless my wife dies, that'd be terrible.
Oh, that would be bad.
That'd be rough.
That'd be rough, dude. I like your wife. Your wife's very
sweet.
Rough.
Oh, dude, thanks. So do I. She's great.
Just the way your mother likes it.
That's right. Did we talk about Taz signing to AEW?
Brother! Beat me if you can. My Taz just went to shit.
Let me ask you a question. You are so, like, disappointed with, like, MLW using curse words and stuff. Taz is the fucking king of cursing during his fucking promos in ECW. Is it because it was ECW?
It was ECW. Like, it was on, like, cable the middle of the night. It was bleeped. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, when you brought the video from fucking Finkelstein, the Kid Toucher, it was still...
You piece of shit.
Yeah, but was it necessary?
But you're going out, and renting a video. Like, this is something like, hey, you can watch our show on demand.
Did they have ECW videos in the video stores?
No. Well, they put out DVDs eventually, yes. But like the older stuff was like, yeah, you had to go to like RF Video. Yeah. That was like their official distributor.
Okay, I see what you guys.
Don't ever buy the fan cam. Those are terrible.
They're pretty bad.
They suck.
Does anyone know? Do you guys know who was in the BWO? Who the guy was?
Thomas Rodman.
No, who's the X-Pac?
Oh, X-Pac.
Thomas Rodman.
No, it wasn't Thomas Rodman.
Thomas Rodman was the interim. There was somebody else.
That was Rob Feinstein. That was him.
No, it was not.
That was RF. Yes,
no
it was.
No fucking way. Yes, Rob Feinstein was in the BWO.
Yes, he was. That's right. It was him.
Get the when he was actually he pretended to be X-Pac.
100%.
No chance.
100%. What are you looking up? What were you looking up? What did
I just put
miss?
In BWO and something else came up?
Bodies without what?
That's right. Odor?
Yeah, Tony is right. 7-Eleven.
That was it.
7-Eleven was Robert Feinstein?
Yes, it was.
He didn't take any bumps or anything. He just stood on the apron with the camera, dressed up like X-Pac with the leather jacket and the long hair.
Christ, how did I not know that?
Kev, I'm an expert.
Corporal Punishment was Stink.
Stink.
Parody of Sting.
Who the fuck was Corporal Punishment?
He was in like CZW. He wrestled for Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
Of course he did.
Oh, man.
Look at this tub of shit. Can we get Violent J back on the show?
That's a fucking great call, Tony.
I told you, I'm an expert in certain things.
Feinstein.
I ain't mad at you, bud.
Finkelstein.
I'm a BWO expert.
AEW took place Wednesday night.
Aww.
It won the ratings war. You're
wearing the shirt, Tony. You can't.
Aww.
It won the ratings war. I personally enjoyed AEW more than NXT this week. I feel like NXT set a lot of stuff up for this week.
Yeah.
Which, if you think about it from like a business standpoint, like AEW's taping the show tomorrow night on the Jericho Cruise.
Yes.
So somehow spoilers will be out there. Course. So, and NXT set up a ton of shit for Wednesday night. So I think it doesn't, for me, it doesn't matter ratings wise. I just want two great shows. Yeah. NXT was good, but I really liked AEW this week.
AEW was fantastic. And so was, I'm not going to lie, so was NXT. You had Alex Shelley's debut for the company and well deserved. And he's not, like I think we've mentioned, he's not signed, but he's there. And him and Kushida, it hurt my gut, but it made sense.
Kevin's got a tummy ache.
It was the right move to have the grizzled young veterans beat them.
I guess.
I hear that, and all I think of is Sex Ferguson.
It's disappointing.
I'm pumped for Alex Shelley. I'm a big fan.
Well, he's coming back to Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And he's doing Game GCW. Changer. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a grizzled young vet.
Let's flip to the NXT. Riddle and Pete Dunne beat Flash, Morgan Webster, and Mark Andrews to advance.
What?
Is there any doubt that they're going to be the Dusty Rhodes Classic?
You think that's where they're going?
They did it with Aleister Black and Ricochet last year, so why wouldn't they do it with...
Can you tell everybody what their team name is?
The Broserweights, baby.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
The Broserweights.
I love Pete Dunne. I love Matt Riddle, but good God. The Broserweights.
Yeah, it is pretty bad.
That's a rough one.
I agree with that, but I'm a fan of both, so...
The Grizzled Young Vets, we talked about, it beat Kushida and Alex Shelley to advance into the Dusty Road Classics.
If you will.
There was a triple threat match with Swerve, Tyler Breeze, and Leo Rush.
Great match.
With Swerve winning, and I think that gained him a spot in the four-way for the
Cruiserweight
Worlds Collide Championship match, which was just taking place Saturday.
Swerve? Yes.
And then I know you are a Battle Royal guy.
Oh, fuck.
The woman's one?
Oh, fuck me. I love it. Fucking ass with the biggest black dildo you could find.
Hey, Mercedes Martinez was in that Battle Royal.
That's great. I just fucking did not enjoy it, and there was a bunch of people in there who I had no fucking idea.
Well, they all got knocked out early.
Can I ask a question?
Yep.
Was it over the top, or was it just out of the
ring? It was over the top.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, the returning fellow Towson University alumni, Katie Catanzaro coming back. Casey Catanzaro coming back.
She cleaned the shit off her fingers from finger blasting fucking
Ricochet's
bunghole.
I don't know. Belleville native right next door.
When they asked Ricochet for comment about her returning.
Mia Yim, you had Bianca Belair, who won, I think, right? Bianca Belair won, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh, good for her. I whip my hair back and forth.
She's the best.
She fucking sucks.
No, she doesn't. She's awesome.
She's the fucking worst.
They did that weird thing with Shotzi Blackheart eliminated Shayna Baszler.
Which was really cool.
It was cool, but does that mean, is that
maybe they have a match
gonna
at takeover?
Set up Shotzi and Shayna?
Does she come out to Shotzi?
God. What do you like? What do you think before you say stuff?
I don't think, Kevin. Okay. Don't you get it?
It's a stupid fucking question, Kevin.
All right, that's the first time that that's been played appropriately.
And that was really it. Belair. She's now the number one contender in the NXT Women's Division. She challenges for the title at Worlds Collide, so it's her against.
Is it Worlds Collide or is it TakeOver Portland?
Let me see.
I think it's TakeOver
Portland. This says Worlds Collide, but it might be TakeOver Portland.
I think it is TakeOver Portland.
Something was determined for TakeOver Portland.
Yeah, TakeOver Portland. Oregon. The Ducks.
All right, Tony, I'll take your word for it. You're an NXT expert.
He's not a fucking expert.
I thought Rhea Ripley's defending against Tony Storm at the Worlds Collide.
There you go.
Rhea Ripley is defending against Tony Storm. And then
Tim Storm's little sister.
Whoever is the champion will face Bianca Belair at
She whips her hair back and forth.
Stop it. I'll punch you in the dick.
She has a great theme song.
Who?
Bianca.
Yeah.
Hard pass. We also saw Keith Lee get jumped by the Undisputed Era, and that triggered Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano to save the day.
So they're friends again?
Well, I think here's what I like about this.
Yeah.
All right. Is they're gonna fight together as a team, but might be for one night.
Oh, great job. Great job, Matt.
So many layers to this story. Is it DIY or Gargano me? Oh, yeah. I reached.
I was hoping you'd throw
sounds
a
like an awful fantasy sitcom in Matt's head.
I reached. Gargano and me. So they're getting together for one night only to take on Mustache Mountain.
That's a great match.
Is Moose their manager?
No, Moose is an impact, baby.
Why'd you say Moose?
Because there's a mustache.
Fuck them.
Fuck, really?
I don't know.
Do you want to get into this?
This story is between Gargano and Ciampa. It's been back and forth for a while.
So many layers. I love it. Go ahead. You want me to do the voice?
Yeah, you could do the voice today. Hold on. Let me make sure it doesn't make Kevin deaf.
It's time for the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast.
It's making no one deaf.
Picks of the week. We got two shows left. We got to do hard times.
Hard times.
Although,
Daddy.
I guess, do we have to wait?
We can wait for hard times.
We have to wait
right?
to see who's in this tournament, no?
Yeah. Well, we know two matches.
No, but we have to wait, I think.
No, there's two matches we can pick.
No, but we never do just two matches. We always wait for the whole show to be revealed.
Like the Royal Rumble, I think.
No,
is
we
set.
Pick the two matches for Wrestle Kingdom, and then we pick the other matches the next
night.
There
are more than two matches.
Well, there's a third one that I might know about, too.
It'll be good Facebook fodder if we wait.
So Worlds Collide right now, I have five matches. Is everyone on the same page with
this
Worlds Collide five
matches?
Yes. All right.
What's the standings?
Oh, man.
Oh, here we go.
I have no idea.
Here we go. Sitting pretty at the top, Kevin Garifo, 240 and 134. One game back. Matty Ice himself, 239, 135. And then way in the back is Tony T. Donk, the fucking loser.
How far back am I from Kevin?
You are five games back from Kevin, four games back from Fatty Matt's.
Okay.
So you're only one game back from me, right, Matt?
Correct, sir.
Oh, man.
I'm going to hang back in the cut then if we're doing Worlds Collide, and I'm going to wait for you guys to pick. Because strategically, I might have to go against all of your picks.
Yeah, but you don't have that right.
Yeah, I do.
It's five games back.
Five games back.
You don't have that right to just designate when you're going to pick, though.
Okay, then I'll pick every match after you two pick every match.
You don't have... We always just do it, like, randomly on the spot, I thought.
Then I can change my picks after you guys make them, so what's your point?
He's going to...
I'm five back.
He's five back. It's not... He's not catching us.
I don't like it.
He's not catching
us. Whatever. He doesn't like it.
You don't have that fucking right to just designate when you're going to decide to pick.
Okay, then I'll make my picks first, and after you two jackoffs pick a match, I'll fucking change my pick.
You don't have that right either. What are you, Tony Change Right? What are you, fucking...
We didn't even get...
Boo!
Dude, really? Really?
What? All right, it's fine. I'm okay with everything, Tony.
What's wrong?
I'm deaf!
I hate your guts.
I hate you. You want to fucking do this now?
No.
You want to do this now?
Where did cheese go? Ah.
I don't know.
Don't threaten me with a good time, Tony.
I got to turn it up. Here we go. Doo-doo. First match, mustache, DIY. Who you got?
Oh, baby. I'll go first. I'll go DIY. Ciampa and Gargansky.
Kevin's going DIY. I'm going Mustache Mountain.
Fucker.
I think.
Yeah, I'm taking Mustache Mountain.
I think Tomas has got Goldie on his mind.
Yeah,
and
fuck
I think
them.
Forming an alliance with Johnny Gargano isn't going to help the cause.
I think Gargano turns on him.
So I like the Mustache Mountain. Who'd you go with?
I took Mustache.
Mustache Mountain hasn't really been a thing lately, though, so I think that they'll surplus. You understand, NXT's a live weekly show every week, so they can do this turn somewhere else.
Sure, they can. So.
My breath stinks.
All right, I'm sticking with DIY, baby.
That's fine. All right, what's next?
The NXT Cruiserweight Championship. Garza against Scott, against Devlin, against Banks. How's Sasha Banks fighting for a men's title? Fucking twat.
Travis Banks, the Kiwi Buzzsaw?
The Kiwi, yes.
I'm a big fan.
Whoa!
I like Garza to retain.
Yeah. Oh!
Same.
Can I take all three of the other guys?
If you want, but if they against lose, the you field. Lose 3 points.
Tony against the field?
I really, oh, God.
Garza. It's got to be Garza. Tony, you know
I know. I have Garza circled, but the two of you are fucking taking Garza. You know what? I got to take Garza. What the fuck am I going to do?
Exactly.
That's suicide to go against do? That one.
Finn Balor against Drago.
If he dies, he dies.
He dies, he dies.
If he dies.
I mean, I'm going to just fill this out for everybody. I think everyone's going to take Finn. I don't see the point of him losing this if he's going to go into Portland and challenge Johnny Gargano.
Wait, who's going into Portland and challenge Johnny Gargano?
Finn.
But Johnny Gargano's not a champion.
No.
But he's a,
but you're not going to have him fucking lose going into that huge match.
But this is Worlds Collide. Like, who gives a shit? It's like losing a Survivor
Series.
Power
Man 5000. They give a shit.
I might want to change that one yet. I don't know.
Well, I'm taking Finn.
I have a little more difficult feeling taking this match so easily.
Okay. Do you need a minute to touch your feelings?
You can touch mine, Kev.
I don't want to touch your feelings, Tony. I feel like they have a lot of energy behind this young kid, who I think is going to be another Pete Dunne, even though he's Russian.
Dune.
But,
Dune.
Ah, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going Finn.
All right.
I think this might be the one we all get wrong.
I'm going jack off.
Ooh.
I have to.
All right.
I need a pen to change that. Fuck.
All right. Tony's going Ilga.
I'm going and I didn't have Ilga circled. I had Balor circled, but got to take a chance.
All right. Rhea Ripley against Toni Storm for the NXT Women's Championship.
I'll start it off.
Yeah, go ahead.
Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, I got talked out of this once already. And as much as I enjoy Toni Storm's bubble butt,
Oh my gosh, she's so hot.
Yeah, you know what? I even I'm not stupid enough to take Toni Storm on this one. I'm going Ripley as well. Fuck. I got to make up so much in hard times.
Hot times.
Yeah,
you might be able to do it.
Yikes. Not if Jagannoff loses.
Well, you took Mustache Mountain with me too. So.
Oh, great. So that means Kevin will be winning by six and be beating you by two.
No, not possible. If I lose.
Imperium against the Undisputed Era.
Can I go first?
Yeah.
Imperium.
Really?
No doubt. Undisputed Era takes a loss here. They have to, dude.
This is a monster pick.
I'm going Undisputed Era.
Oh, you're fucking wrong.
I think
dude.
Everyone in the Undisputed Era holds gold, and I think outside of
Walter,
everyone else can take a pinfall and it's not going to hurt them.
Where is this show, by the way?
This is in Phoenix.
Oh, it's in Phoenix?
Houston. I'm sorry. Houston.
Houston.
That's where the Royal Rumble is. It's the night before. It's at the Toyota Center. It's the night before the Royal
Rumble. It's at the Senna.
No,
I'm going Imperium. I gotta take some drastic measures here.
I'm going Undisputed.
Good. All right. Good.
UE for Kevin.
Good.
So we're going to hold off on our NWA Hard Times picks and our Royal Rumble picks.
What?
Royal Rumble Picks starts the next
Starts talent. Season 2, Tony.
Season 2, Tony.
No,
we got it, brother.
No,
You've been outvoted. We are going to put you through this again.
Are we doing a Patreon people thing that you were talking about?
Yes, I will set that up on
Facebook.
Oh,
God, you got like
fucking
5 days to do that. Good luck, sucker.
It's not hard.
That's what she said.
Exactly. That's what she said.
That's exactly what
she said.
So
we're not picking hard times?
I mean, there's two matches.
There's two matches, bro.
You want to pick those two matches? We could do it.
I don't know. I just figured give the people something.
But we gave them
the
picks for a whole show.
Something.
Dude, we just gave them a whole NXT pick.
This is Worlds Collide, Kev. Come on. This isn't.
All right. So you want to.
This is the equivalent of a takeover.
Right now, there's only two
matches
set in stone.
Yes.
For NWA Hard Times.
Yes.
All right. Nick Aldis against Flip.
Yep.
And Tim Storm against Zane Dawson in the first round of the NWA TV tournament.
Nah, you know what? I changed my mind. Let's hold off.
All right, we're holding off. We're going to put our picks
up. I think we both know the results of both of those matches.
Yep. Flip Gordon's
Zane
your
Dawson's
new...
winning the whole thing, dude.
Flip Gordon is the new and Flippy Doo, baby.
That's not a title match, by the way.
Look, I got to see who's in this fucking TV tournament. I know Nick Aldis is going to win. Maybe by DQ. There's, you know, Strictly Business, Finland Enterprises. There's a lot of moving pieces here. I'm more concerned with the NWA TV championship. And how are we going to do this? Do we pick one guy to win all the matches, or do we have to
just
pick as it goes?
A winner.
We have to sit there.
So you're watching. You are ordering Hard Times. You'll be watching
it's
live.
Already ordered. What time does it start? 6:05?
6:05.
There you go.
So are you going to have to text us? Am I going to have to get back? It's going to be hard for me because I'm at the restaurant Friday night working on the floor.
Well, we're going to find out who fills out the rest of the brackets tomorrow,
right? I understand
that,
but as we move on,
well, you guys know
the semifinals and the finals.
Okay, so what I'm saying is like there's only four matches in the first round, so really we only have three more matches to worry about, right? Like we can pick those four matches before the show.
Right, but it's the other matches I'm worried about.
Do you? All right.
Do we even have to pick Hard Times if that's the case, if we're so nervous about it?
Yeah.
We have to
I have to pick
times.
Hard times. Otherwise, it's over.
All right. I'm okay with it.
I can be by my phone to make my picks. I just need to know.
Yeah, but are you working Saturday?
Who?
No, I don't work.
It's Friday Saturdays. Night, first of all.
Oh, are you working? It's Friday?
I don't
Fuck.
Work Fridays.
I think you told me. I thought maybe you had a show or something. I don't know.
Worlds Collide is Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Hard Times is Friday.
Oh, God. We're picking the Royal Rumble.
The Royal Rumble Sunday.
But that's season two, though, bro.
Oh, my God.
And I will have an extensive breakdown of season one next week when I come in. We did in NXT, how we did in WWE, how we did in Ring of Honor. Oh, I have it all on the spreadsheet. I'm a fucking dork for shit like this.
Oh, mama.
AEW, I love it. I love it. All right, so we'll pick Hard Times. We'll put it up on the Facebook or some nonsense like that. Let's get back into AEW, shall we, ladies?
Aww. I'm in. So we're gonna pick Rumble now or later?
I mean, we can pick the Rumble now.
I have no idea what the matches are.
I will tell you what the matches are.
Oh, God.
And I'm sure they'll announce matches at the last minute.
This is like basketball. They're starting the next season before the playoffs are over.
This is big.
This is start season two.
No, you're fucking giggling already.
If you remember correctly, I think I went. I don't know. Did we pick 2000? We did pick 2019.
The 2019 right? Royal Rumble we picked.
Who
it
picked
was,
Becky Lynch? Somebody picked Becky Lynch.
I don't
didn't
think we
they?
Got, I think I did.
I think you did.
I know Kevin picked Seth Rollins to win the Rumble. I know that.
So I got them right both. And so, then I also picked Asuka and Shinsuke the year before.
Kevin went 8-2 at the Royal Rumble. Tony went 7-3. I ate my dick and went 5-5. I picked Becky Lynch to beat Asuka. I picked Alexa Bliss to win the Rumble. Kevin picked Becky Lynch to win the Rumble, and he picked Rollins to win the Rumble. So he doubled down on that.
Yeah. That makes sense, right?
The men's Rumble? Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Wait, because
Tony picked Seth Rollins to win the Rumble.
Who did I pick?
Kevin Owens. I picked Samoa Joe. The only matches you took Finn over Brock. And you lost the men's Rumble.
Terrible decision.
Tony,
you took Finn over Brock.
I thought Finn was the demon. I thought it was going to happen.
Was he the demon?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't the demon.
Tony took Charlotte Flair to win the Rumble. He lost The Bar against The Miz and Shane McMahon. And he lost Rusev against Nakamura.
This is bringing back so many awful memories.
I know that I got Shinsuke and Asuka in the same year. I know I picked both of them.
Yeah, but we didn't do that year.
Shane and
that was 2018.
The Miz.
Yeah, but why do I remember picking it?
And The Miz's dad.
Maybe it was just like a random.
We may have picked it
we
on
may
the
have
show,
it.
But
it
we
wasn't
weren't
part
keeping
of a track.
Hell in the Cell where Shane McMahon won. Oh, my God. Can we not do this again? Can we really not?
100%
oh,
we're
this.
Doing it again, baby.
Oh, you know what else WrestleMania X7 had?
What?
Comatose Linda McMahon.
When Trish Stratus had her
yes,
in a wheelchair.
Yes, she did.
And then, oh my God.
Oh, it's so great. Even the backstage.
Did she give
like,
a low blow? Was there a low blow involved?
I think Trish gave her the game. No, Linda gave the low blow.
To
she
Vince,
got up out of the chair,
right?
Yeah. God damn woo. All
right, right now we have 7 matches announced for the Royal Rumble. That includes the
women's. Wait, are we definitely doing this?
That's enough to pick.
100% we're doing this right now.
All right, okay. We need background music. Royal Rumble, some
so
shit
this
Sunday.
Is going to start season 2. One of us will defend our title moving into 2020. We'll start with the women's championship match. Bayley defends against Lacey Evans. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Kevin's going to go first. Corporate Kevin in the house.
Bayley.
Kevin's going with Bayley.
I hate Lacey
I'm
Evans.
I'm going
matches.
New women's champion. I think the Lacey Evans face push is something they want to go with. I will take Lacey Evans.
I think they want to wait it out a little bit.
It's fine. Tony?
New champ.
New champ. All right. What do we got next? Shorty G against Sheamus. I'm going to go with Sheamus. I don't really see a point. I don't think Sheamus is at that point where he is that guy who helps put these guys over. I do hate the fact that this is a fucking feud over his height again.
Feud.
Because we just got done with that with Baron Corbin.
I'm sorry. Shorty G is the worst character in the history of
wrestling. So I'm going Sheamus. This will be his is this his first match back, right?
His first pay-per-view match back.
Right.
Sheamus.
So I'm going Sheamus.
Sheamus.
Yep,
same.
Sheamus across the Bizord.
Great, we're off to a rip-roaring start already.
Shut your fucking mouth.
Well, I picked somebody else different
don't,
than you guys.
Don't pay, he's just very ornery. This is going to ruin his year, and I'm very happy about this.
Go fuck your hands.
Roman Reigns against King Corbin in a Falls Count Anywhere match.
Oh, my God.
I'm going Roman Reigns because
oh
I think at some
gosh.
Point he has to beat
yeah,
King Corbin.
Yeah, you would think,
so
right?
So, wait, are these guys in the Rumble, too?
I will give you a list of who's in the Rumble before we pick the Rumble.
I'm going Roman Reigns as well.
Oh, God. Wait, it's Falls Count Anywhere?
Falls Count
Anywhere.
Oh, and
he's got the fucking Pineapple Express with him now, too. Fuck. Yeah, Roman Reigns.
I'm assuming you're referring to the Usos.
Yeah.
See, unless... If he's in
oh,
the
no,
if,
stop.
If he's in the Royal Rumble,
no, you
too,
can't do this. You can't do this.
And maybe he loses to Baron Corbin
he is in the Royal
and
Rumble.
Wins the Royal Rumble.
Mm. He is in the Royal Rumble.
Isn't Baron Corbin in the Rumble as well?
Baron Corbin.
I'm switching. I'm going
yes,
Baron Corbin.
Baron Corbin is also in the Rumble.
I'm going Baron Corbin.
Final answer.
Final answer. Switching. Terrible move, but I'm doing it.
Fuck. I want to do it too.
No, Tony, it's not
before
the right
before the
move.
Next match. Going once.
No, I'm done.
Going twice.
Lock
Becky Lynch against Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship.
Oh, God. Wait, Asuka's still with the Bukkake Champions?
Yes.
Becky Lynch.
Yeah, Becky.
Becky across the board. I don't think it's time.
Is Bad Reputation coming back soon? Oh, Christ. Ronda Rousey wins the Women's Royal Rumble.
Is that
fuck!
Is that your pick already?
Nope.
I'm done.
That's not who
I'm leaving.
Tony not... threw his headset off.
Why?
He's walking
why
out.
Why are you so mad?
Because I don't give a damn about your reputation, Kevin.
Oh.
All right. I don't all have right, a reputation.
Well, The Fiend Bray Wyatt defends the WWE Universal Championship against Daniel Bryan in a strap match.
Fiend.
Fiend!
I'm going Daniel Bryan.
Oh, fuck you, dude.
I think this is a way to get
no!
the strap off the Fiend
no!
without him getting pinned.
Fiend and Brock unification match, bro.
No, you're fucking drunk.
So wait,
it's going to be Brock and Cain Velasquez.
So who main events WrestleMania?
Daniel Bryan and whoever wins the Royal Rumble.
No way. Daniel Bryan is not winning.
Daniel
you're
Bryan and Drew McIntyre.
Out of your mind. They've got so
I
much
guess
more.
Got an insight into Matt's pick.
They've got so much more going with the Fiend, dude. It's the Fiend.
I'm
he couldn't even
Fiend.
Beat. What's his name? Bray Wyatt. He's going to beat The Fiend? Come on, dude. Come
I'm
on.
Just saying.
Come on, dude.
That's what I'm going with. Don't get off my dick with my picks, bro.
Come on, dude.
Get off his dick picks.
All right, Women's Royal Rumble.
I'm going. I don't know. Do we have a list of people in it?
Yes, my apologies.
Yeah, I'm going Ronda Rousey.
Let me find
it's Ronda Rousey.
Right
Ronda
now,
Rousey.
There's only
Ronda Rousey. I want 40 points for this fucking
there's only
pick.
Four women announced for
oh,
the women.
Great. The Bukkake Warriors and Becky Lynch. No, Becky Lynch isn't in it because she
it's
fucking
Charlotte
still...
Flair, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, and Sarah Logan.
Oh, great.
Sarah Logan's a sleeper.
You fucking fill in the blanks there. I'm actually going with Tony. I think Ronda Rousey returns.
Stop stealing my picks.
Maybe we shouldn't have done this yet.
Ha 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 ha!
Can I tell you guys how much I love this show? How much I love doing this with you guys every
Why
week?
Shouldn't we have
How much
this yet,
I love
Kevin?
You guys? This is awesome.
Do you think Trish
this
Stratus is
awesome.
Going to return when the Rumble?
I'm going to have a
no,
fucking
I'll
ulcer
who,
tonight.
I'll tell you who I think is going to win.
The Ashley Mazzaro zombie?
Ooh, I'm spunky. Ooh.
Nia Jax.
Nia Snacks.
That's your pick.
That's my pick.
Tony's
She's not like most girls.
No, wait. Hold on. That's not.
Yeah, it is. All right, we'll give you a
you
chance.
You want us to do it.
You can lock it in right now and be done with it.
You
forgot about Ronda Rousey. I forgot about her.
Don't give a damn about your reputation. Fuck, why am I not playing this? I can do this now. Bad rap. All right,
there's two women's champions. That's because the winner of the Royal Rumble doesn't necessarily mean she won't get a title shot at Mania. I think Ronda Rousey gets there. And gets eliminated
Here she
Nia
comes.
Jax. I'm sick with Nia Jax.
Here she comes.
But I don't even know if she's in. If she's if neither one of them are in, is it moot or what?
No, we all lose then.
We would all lose.
But if say Ronda Rousey's announced like next week, Nia Jax is announced.
Not gonna announce Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, you're right.
It'll be like when John Cena came back or Triple H came back.
She's coming in number 27.
I'm still going
Nia
Jax. I think they want her.
No.
You listen to Joan Jett?
Yeah, fuck this bitch.
I gotta watch her fucking open for Poison, Motley Crue, and Def Leppard in
little
August.
David Starr action.
Right. All right, your men's Royal Rumble. This is who we have announced so far.
Oh, boy.
It's a big
Shorty
field.
G.
No, no.
We Cradle got, Rock.
Brock Lesnar, who will be entering the match at number one.
Kurt Hawkins.
I hate when they do that. Kurt Hawkins is my pick.
Kurt Hawkins, not yet. Roman Reigns.
He's not going to be in
AJ Styles. Reigns. Eric Rowan. Randy Orton. Rey Mysterio. Ricochet. Drew McIntyre. Elias. King Corbin, Dolph Ziggler, Otis, Tucker,
yep.
Rusev,
yep.
Lashley,
yep.
Aleister Black,
yep.
Buddy Murphy,
yep.
Braun Strowman,
uh-huh.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yep.
Dummy, yeah.
Huh.
This is tough.
I'm going Braun Strowman. I'm thinking this might be his year. I don't know who the fuck else to pick. Seth's already a heel. He's got his shit going on. You got two heel world champions. It doesn't make sense for him to win. Roman Reigns ain't going to fucking win.
See, I'm going back to the well. I'm going Roman Reigns.
You're out of your fucking mind.
I don't think that ship has sailed yet, man.
Nah, it's
I don't think you got to see the full extent of him because he got cancer and they had to take the title from him and they've kind of used him to help elevate King Corbin. But I think it's Roman Reigns' time to shine.
You think they're going Roman Brock again?
I think you're going to get Brock and Cain Velasquez, and maybe you get Roman Reigns and The Fiend.
Yeah, never going to happen. I go Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar. I go Braun Strowman.
I was tossing and turning between. I thought Samoa Joe would be the guy.
Oh, God, you don't think Cain Velasquez is going to win the fucking thing,
no,
do you?
Absolutely
no,
fucking
I don't think
not.
You never
I think,
know.
I think he's going
of course
to,
we don't know.
I think he's going to eliminate Brock Lesnar, and I think that's going to be the match you get at WrestleMania, Brock Lesnar
for
Cain
the
Velasquez.
WWE Championship.
Yes.
Okay, but then the only thing left is who's going to face The Fiend, right?
The or winner
is it
of the
be
Royal
Daniel
Rumble.
Bryan? Fine, but
and,
who's going to step up and take that spot?
Roman Reigns.
Where's Braun?
Roman Reigns.
He's also on SmackDown.
I'm sticking with Braun.
Okay. Your SmackDown participants, if this helps, Roman Reigns, Elias, Corbin, Ziggler, Otis, Tucker, Strowman, Nakamura.
Otis, Tucker, Strowman, Nakamura.
Jib Duggan.
Oh!
Otis, Tucker, Strowman.
I wanted them to hold off on Samoa Joe's return so bad.
Samoa.
Because I thought then he would be the guy. Or Kevin Owens, too. But, Matt, I'm with you.
Roman Reigns
is the guy. He loses to Baron Corbin and he wins the Royal Rumble.
All right, so 2020 is off to a banger. We'll pick our hard times picks after tomorrow's NWA Power.
I hate that I'm with you, but I'm with you.
Oh well, I mean, my wife feels the same way.
No, no. So.
AEW, we briefly talked about Taz. We talked about the new contract. Excuse me. AEW Dynamite, Wednesday night. We start off with a banger of a tag team match with Private Party, the Young Bucks. No.
No, it was
LAX.
Best Friends, LAX, Young Bucks, and...
Pentagon.
Kenny and the Drunk.
Oh, no. Kenny and the Drunk, that's right. Kenny and Paige.
Drink beer, baby.
Kenny and the
It looks
drunk.
Like he's drinking a lot of whiskey.
Kenny!
As we're sitting here drinking White Claws.
I thought it was a fucking fantastic match.
I watched it today. I had first time I had a chance to watch it. And I text you guys. I'm like, holy shit, this match is amazing. I mean, how could you go wrong with these eight guys?
And this was Bash at the Beach, too, which I thought was cool that they dug that up.
Very smoking hot chick on the lifeguard stand.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Thank you, Kevin.
Let's go. So, unfortunately, The Rock's father, Rocky Johnson, passed away.
No, there was like four deaths that they mentioned. Who was it?
Pampiro
Firpo.
L.A. Parka, not
LaParka. Not L.A. Park, LaParka.
LaParka, excuse me, and Kendo Nagasaki.
Dragon Master.
And, folks, we just want to send our condolences to all the families and friends of these fine wrestlers.
Snowflake over here was like, oh, the way to show a girl with big titties after a fight.
Right. You ruined the line, you fuck.
Oh, all right, I got a little boner.
Are you actually sending condolences, or are you criticizing Jim Ross for what he said?
No. It had nothing to do with Jim Ross said. But as Jim Ross is giving condolences, they're showing a sexy woman in a two-piece bathing suit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry about your losses, folks. Here, have some titties to make you feel better.
First of all, sorry about your losses, folks, pertains to a very small amount of people.
We can't mourn for too long, Tony.
And look, man, fake titties make everything better.
We don't know that they're fake. They look pretty good.
They look delicious.
I've been to Miami before, and I'll tell you what, them titties were fake.
Okay? 90% of them usually are in Miami. I think they looked au naturel.
They were serviceable.
Look, neither here nor there.
Serviceable.
Only fucking Snowflake over here.
Look at the adjective.
Oh!
Fucking woke T-Dunk the Snowflake is going to notice when Jim Ross is like, condolences and titties on the screen.
They couldn't like show like a picture of the person or the persons that they were talking about?
They did
about.
A Rocky Johnson.
Yeah.
They showed a Rocky Johnson.
As he's giving his condolences, they're showing this woman and she's waving in the chair. I'm like, oh, come on, really?
Oh, brilliant.
You're such a fucking nitpicker.
I do like on commentary how they say they're going picture in picture. We'll be right back. And then they fucking go to commercial and there's no picture in picture.
Well, he's
they do that a lot.
And vice versa, too. Yep. Like, when there's like, we'll be right back. Oh, wait, I'm still watching this.
I'll tell you what. I listen to a lot of that Grilling JR. Like, I don't listen every week, but then I'll binge.
Oh, my God.
I want to be best friends with Jim Ross.
It's a great podcast.
He's like Tony. Like, when I got here, Tony was ornery. It's like, that turned up to like 12, and if he's crushing Moscow mules and fucking chicks with his blue chew, I want to be around 68-year-old Jim Ross going fucking, because Jim Ross is woke.
I want to be friends with all, yes, Jim Ross is woke.
What do you say about that, woke master? Woke master T-Dunk?
Woke master
what
flex?
What do you mean, you fucking crushing
Jim
blue
Ross
chew?
Is amazing on his podcast, and so is freaking Tibet, Eric Bischoff, too.
But Jim Ross gets pissed off at everything. They'll be like, oh, you were on commentary on this show, and Wade Keller had this to say about you. Well, it's like these people on Twitter. The fuck they think? They want to do this job? You know, go fuck yourselves.
I don't hate his reaction.
He gets so pissed
old man dealing with social media.
He's like, I'll get things wrong. The fuck? How about you fucking do a better job?
And I'll say this to Jim Ross if I ever met him in person. Listen, dude.
Calm down.
Sassafras.
You're not that great anymore. I'm sorry, but you're But you're still valuable to any company that wants to have you. I think that 100%.
Kevin's shitting on a legend.
Sassafras.
He's not is he that great on commentary? He's not. Let's be honest.
I'm not gonna lie, I've never really been a big Jim Ross fan anyway, so in terms of his commentary, I didn't think him and Jerry Lawler were all that great.
When you're watching X7, listen to his commentary again.
All right, first of all, X7,
he makes mistakes. Like, he makes mistakes that you really shouldn't make. He calls Trent Beretta.
No, but listen.
You can't do that.
Listen.
I don't know.
I call him Jungle Jack Perry. You got a problem with that? I don't give a shit.
Trent Beretta was the name that was copyrighted under WWE. I think I could be way off, but it's just
no, because he was. They referred to him as Trent Beretta and Evolve when he was there.
When he went back to Evolve, right? Or when he was just still...
When he was like Trent and he was selling them weird t-shirts that I bought one that didn't fit me.
I thought he was...
I'm a fucking slob.
Wait, like Dragon Gate Evolve era?
Yeah.
I think that's a little different, no?
Whatever happened to BB Hulk?
He's doing Dragon Gate stuff.
Still?
Yeah.
Dragon Gate's still a thing.
Yeah, not
in Japan.
Not in here.
Dragon Gate was always a thing. It was Gabe got his paws on it, and he wanted to bring it to the U.S. So with Evolve, he teamed up, and it was Dragon Gate USA. And then after several years, he ran into issues with getting guys over here, the BB Hulks, the Shingos, the Shimas.
Yes.
So he stopped.
All the Shimas.
done with Dragon Gate USA, and now he was just Evolve.
Okay.
He's still not paying guys.
Nah, I could be wrong about the Trent thing. But
it's fine. What? He's not. That whole thing with David Starr, where David Starr said he wasn't paying people, and then 2 days later an email came out where he said, you're invited to a tryout, but you have to pay your own way to Orlando.
Wait, Gabe invited him to a tryout?
No. There was an email that Gabe had sent to somebody else, and it said you have to pay your own way to Orlando.
Because I know Dave put something up where he was shitting on calling Gabe a carny.
Yes.
And then Gabe responded, and then Dave seemed to have squashed it. Like, in terms of, like, Dave was like, all right, I'm okay with this.
Oh, I don't know if they squashed it. Back to AEW, though. Cody cut a promo. Kevin said Cody's promo's fire.
Consistently fire.
He's awesome. Awesome. Unbelievable.
Like, I can't tell you, like, the last time I heard someone who consistently had a promo that good.
Do you think he doesn't get the credit he deserves because he is the son of Dusty and the brother of Goldust?
No. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think it's because he's...
You think it's because he left the WWE and he's becoming successful?
Because he left the WWE and because now he's also the quote-unquote... You know, executive vice president of AEW, where people just think Cody is either A, not a big star, or B, he's just the owner trying to, you know, whatever, lack of mark terms, get yourself over. His promos have been consistently amazing. Amazing. And MJF is no slouch either, but Cody's promos have been absolutely ridiculously good.
I agree. I did not enjoy the Joey Janela promo.
I didn't hate it.
I wasn't, I don't know. It just felt, didn't
he
feel organic?
He repeated himself a lot. No, he felt trying too hard.
I love Joey. I just, it was not, I mean, I get what they're trying to do with him. I just wasn't.
I think the story kind of has a weird little hold on what you have to say in the promo. And he has to say Bad Boy a lot. He has to say Penelope a lot. He has to say, you know, you find out why I'm a bad boy, this and that. So I don't think... I think it may have hindered his creativity. I thought it was very well executed, to be honest with you. And I thought he killed it.
Statlander and Hiroki Shida defeated Brandi Rhodes and Mel. Apparently, Brandi Rhodes stepped in for Awesome Kong. I don't exactly know why, but I don't know. Whatever. It was great to see Statlander on TV, but
I love Shira's tights.
I love Shida.
Shida.
I love
little,
her.
That little cutout where it's like her hiney showing a little bit, like her underwear starts like below the waist. I love that.
I kind of like Mel. I'm not going to lie. I'm not trying to dogpile on her. I don't like Brandi Rhodes at all.
Nope, she's terrible.
If she's going to be a mouthpiece, be a mouthpiece. Don't let her wrestle.
Yes, be a mouthpiece.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that for sure.
And Dr. Luther is still floating around. He's a little weirdo.
He's an idiot. He just sat at ringside the whole time. It's like,
he's a little weirdo.
Fucking loser.
Fucking weirdo. John Moxley defeated Sammy Guevara. Sammy Guevara is going to be a fucking star.
I see it.
He's going to be a huge star. It was a fucking great match.
Yeah, now that he ditched that fucking panda outfit that he was wearing on the first show.
I mean, there's only so many pandas you can have in the world of wrestling.
Yeah, I know. Fallout's got that shit on lockdown.
That's right.
And then there was a post-match beatdown with Jericho and the Inner Circle where they spiked Moxley's right eye.
Can I say it? Yeah. Can I come out and say it?
Go ahead.
Jericho looks like he lost like 30 pounds. You didn't think he looked like a lot lighter, healthier?
What's that pose?
I'm fucking having namaste over here because I'm fucking woke.
Just so you know, I saw a picture yesterday of your boy fucking Tanahashi when he looks 8 months pregnant. So if you ever fucking besmirch the good name of Chris Jericho again, I'm going to smack you like fucking Psychosis 2 smack
the extendo gut. Oh.
If he looks like Tana Slabo, I will call him out for it.
He is Tana Slabo.
Pull up a picture. I'll be happy to call him a slob.
You get that bloated gut sometimes, man. Like, I'm a skinny guy, but I get that bloated gut.
A little too much of the bubbly.
That's it. Well, you know about that because you drank a whole bottle by yourself.
On New Year's Eve. That's it was depressing. I was like, fuck it. Nobody else wants it. I'm going to finish this.
Trust me. I would have loved to enjoy it with you.
I'm not drinking mine.
You should. Is that for... No, that's a woman.
No, that's fucking Tanahashi, you dickhead.
Jesus Christ.
I don't even have to look at it to know.
Is he pushing his stomach out?
Yeah, like, he's doing the gut push.
I don't know, man. Them titties are looking fucking ripe.
Yeah, see?
I don't know.
That's your boy right there with his fucking terrible hair.
Yikes.
Yeah, see?
Tana Slabo.
So you watch your fucking mouth.
Hey, I just called him Tana Slabo. I spread it out evenly, all right?
Just watch your mouth, all right?
You're lucky I didn't comment on
it. But you, Tony, you've kind of criticized Chris Jericho in the past, have you not?
For his weight, yes.
And now he lost weight, and now you're all like,
He looked a lot better than he's looked the past couple of months. Like, he looked pretty horrific in Japan for the Wrestle Kingdom show. He did!
This motherfucker.
His wrestling was absolutely fine. We talked about this. He just looked like a slobbo. I'm sorry. Well, you know who didn't look like a slobbo in the six-man tag match?
DDP and Dustin Rhodes?
DDP looked amazing. Motherfucker did a jump, a dive to the outside off the top rope.
I'm surprised.
63 years old.
I was very happy to see the gear that he chose, too, by the way.
I still don't know what that fucking wrap was.
Yeah, we don't know that yet.
It's forever nursing those ribbons.
I think that's what it was. I think that's what the play was.
But it was cool because during one of those picture-in-pictures, they showed him doing the workout in the back. Like, he was doing the fucking stand with his foot all the way out and shit.
Yeah.
He was doing the roundhouse kick.
Got a boner for fucking DDP.
But this DDP gear was not what... He was wearing this on his come up in WCW. Like, he ended up wearing jeans and then, like, the purple shit with Karl Malone.
Coming.
Yeah, but he had the tights that said DDPY.
No,
like, he had all fresh gear, dude.
I know, but that's...
It's not like he was Mr. Perfect and just wore fucking orange singlets.
I will fucking kill you. But that's... He wore that when he was still heel DDP on his come up. As opposed to like DDP,
like Battle Bowl DDP,
Battle Bowl DDP, a little bit more than Battle Bowl, a little bit further on in his career, but still, like, I wasn't like what you would expect him to wear jeans. Even when he came back in a Rumble, he wore jeans and a DDP shirt.
Because he's feeling better now, you know. He wasn't wearing a shirt for the match.
No, which shocked me, to be honest.
MJF was wearing a shirt.
Eh?
Yeah, he said I banged DDP's daughter.
That's I don't like that, dude. That's fucked up.
Oh, that's crossing the line, but Chris Jericho's a fucking slob. Shut your fucking mouth.
Chris Jericho's not going around saying he banged people's daughters.
He didn't say it. He's not a heel.
He's a heel. Chris Jericho's not a heel. What did you just say? Are you mental?
He got you, man.
You didn't get me. He got you.
He doesn't even know what he's talking about over here.
MJF stole the pin.
Oh,
so him
great,
and the
wonderful.
Butcher and the Blade beat
the Butcher, the Baker, and MJF.
QT
Maker.
Marshall.
Yeah, poor fucking
Dusty
slob.
Rhodes and DDP.
Poor
Dusty
QT.
Rhodes was there.
QT
right.
comes out. I'm like, fucking bitch is losing. I don't know what to tell
wow,
you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There was a nice segment with SCU and a drunk Hangman.
Page. Oh yeah, it was so nice. He came out. He's like, I'm gonna kick your ass.
Yeah, and then Kenny Omega interrupted. I like how they're kind of playing this being the elite thing. Like,
yeah, because
Hangman's
Kenny's
gotta
be
outside.
Everybody's friend. Like, what's up, man? We're gonna respect and we're gonna have a great match and blah blah blah. Fuck that, dude. Your partner's saying he's gonna kick their asses. You back up your partner. You say, yeah, I'm gonna kick your ass too. The titles are on the line. Bitch, you ain't my friend until after the bell rings.
And then Pac defeated Darby Allin. Darby Allin's fucking out of his mind.
Yeah, he is.
Out of his fucking mind.
Yeah, he is.
It's crazy that he's only 23 years old.
It's so
he's
awesome.
He's only 23?
He's only 23.
Is he still making doo-doo art?
That's a great question. Only Darby Allin can answer that.
Fuck, we got to get these guys on the show. I don't like that they signed with AEW. We can't talk to them anymore.
Well, that
depends. Jump through fucking
we don't know. We don't know about that.
75 hoops.
And
hey,
then,
you want to get an interview with Cody? Take the picture of him off the wall that says, like, we'll chat soon and send it to him and go.
He knows it exists.
We've done it several times.
Yeah.
And then after the match, they kind of played up that Moxley wasn't going to be able to fight next week against Pac.
Oh, because he got stabbed in the
right,
eye.
But then he came
fucking,
out.
Road Warriors Dusty style.
That's right. He came out. He was all fucking fired up, full of piss and vinegar. So that was AEW. They're going to be on the boat for the Jericho Cruise this week. And as I mentioned before, they're taping the show tomorrow night. So we'll get to see Hangman Page and Kenny Omega against SCU. What else is on the fucking card?
Private Party.
No,
Pac versus Moxley.
Poxley.
Poxley. Mock versus Mock. Mock versus
Mock
Poxley. And then Cody accepted MJF's challenge. They're going to do it in a cage.
A cage
against
Wardlow.
Right?
With Wardlow. And he's going to take 10 lashes, and he's not allowed to touch MJF. And it's in Atlanta. And motherfucker, if Nick Aldis shows up in Atlanta, goddamn.
Wait. Next week's show is in Atlanta?
No, in like the middle of February.
Oh, okay, never mind. I was about to say next week's on the show.
But if fucking Nick Aldis was to show up.
At AEW?
Oh, my God, because they're in Atlanta. That's why he showed up in fucking Ring of Honor. I know it's not going to happen. I know it's very unlikely that NWA has their pot or their
gives me goosebumps.
Their
brother.
Spoons in many sauces, but goddamn, it'd be fucking awesome, especially with the history between Nick Aldis and Cody Rhodes. If Nick Aldis showed up and cost Cody a match,
gives me goosebumps.
So many layers. So many layers. Tony.
Maybe Sean Mooney shows up too.
So no, Sean Mooney's gonna be there.
So many layers.
Tuesday night.
So Mooney layers.
Wow. MLW. You want to bang through MLW real fast?
Yeah. Myron Reed successfully defended against Al Lindemann.
Bro, that fucking...
That was a good match.
That running ace crusher. Myron Reed, he's on my radar for 2020. Superstar.
Yeah.
Is that your radar?
Of them, dude. You can't go wrong with anybody from Injustice.
Jordan Oliver next week on the show.
Jordan Oliver next week on the show.
Very excited about that.
Gino Medina, he beat Savio Vega in a quote-unquote street fight.
Funky Cole Medina.
I get they're trying to get him in there with a veteran, give him the rub a little bit, but Gino's a little green, man.
Yeah, it wasn't
little
that good.
Green.
It wasn't that good. And then that Dynasty came out and distracted Savio, which allowed Gino to get the win.
It was MJF is still on the show.
He is. He will be there through the Dallas tapings, and he gone. And then in the main event, Davey Boy Smith Jr. successfully defeated Brian Pillman Jr.
Heard this match was amazing.
I love this match. To become the Opera Cup champion, and they will be bringing this back yearly, so look forward to that in the MLW. Tony?
Big things for MLW, man. I hope.
I'll give you something. It was a great match. I don't know if I would say amazing, but it was a great match. Told a great story. Fucking Brian Pillman's got to learn how to sell that shoulder a little bit better.
The shoulder stuff. It's
the interview with Alicia, and he's holding on to his arm. And you know what's funny, too? Did they show him when he got beat up by Injustice? Was that last week?
Was it 2 weeks ago, yeah. Last Monday.
When he's on the floor, and he's like grimacing into the camera and
stuff. Grabbed the wrong shoulder?
And then right after that, wasn't there another person that got attacked like immediately? I thought there was like two back-to-back that got attacked. Two back-to-back?
I think Tom Lawler attacked one of the Von Erichs in the stairwell with the weapon.
Yes. And he chased him on the subway and shit.
Yeah. They could have done... I mean, I feel like MLW should shy away from one-night tournaments on TV tapings because it clearly takes the crowd out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time you saw Brian Pillman Jr. for the third time, I mean... Crowd was pretty wiped out.
You like that he comes out to Black Cat by Janet Jackson?
No.
For real?
I hated the tape job on his arm. He had like one band, like he was the Ultimate Warrior on his shoulder. They could have put some fucking extra medical tape on his shoulder.
So with that being said, like you were never like a King of the Ring guy or a WrestleMania
King of the Ring's
guy.
Different because it's a one night event and it's, you know, like this, you're spacing
this
it out over three.
This was all taped.
That's a lot. You're taping but 4 weeks worth of TV.
Yeah, Phil Rea was there for that taping.
So it's not like...
TNA did it a lot, too. And
yeah, but it's not like these first-round matches. Like, there's other storylines they're trying to get through that are going to come through better on TV versus being there. So you have to sit through an interview. You have to sit through a Gino Medina, Selena De La Renta, Conan. Like, it's start and stop. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yep.
So I think they should avoid doing any type of tournament for a TV taping.
Yeah, like there wouldn't be anything wrong with doing an Opera Cup as like a 2-hour special.
Right, because there's a flow to it.
There you go.
But when you're interrupting it and you're doing these Tom Lawler skits and you're doing these Selena De La Renta bits, like it kind of takes away from the flow of the show.
And like especially like if you have Injustice attack Pillman last week and then all of a sudden Injustice has a match this week, even though like later on they're talking about like, oh, they've been banned from the arena for this match. It's like, no, then just have them fucking be banned last week, you know? I don't know. Just little shits like that.
So they're doing their Fightland tapings in Philadelphia Saturday, February 1st. Right now it's Fatu against Shima. Tom Lawler against the debuting Killer Kross.
Isn't it Shima?
Shima, whatever.
Yeah.
Hammerstone's defending against T-Hawk. Davey Boy Smith wrestling Eric Stevens.
Wait, Hammerstone's defending against T-Hawk?
Yeah. T-Hawk. He's from the OWE.
Oh, he's the OWE. One of the OWE guys.
Yeah. Brian Pillman Jr., Jimmy Havoc. And ooh. Injustice against Puma King and Gringo Loco.
Wait, which Injustice is the non-champion
it's
guys?
Jordan Oliver and Cotto Brazil.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I feel like
Myron?
Myron's defending his championship at the TV tapings against...
Probably. Against...
Fuck. I had it in these notes, too. God damn it. Sonso. They also signed a deal with major Hollywood agency, ICM Partners, and they're going to look to sign a new TV and streaming deal. So this could
get
be huge for MLW.
They're looking for a TV deal. They signed with ICM?
ICM.
Come on. Come on. That was good, damn it.
Aboo.
Give me credit.
Ring of Honor's got a ton of news coming out.
Oh my God! We got like, come on. Let's
I know. They're partnering with Supercard of Honor, taking place WrestleMania weekend. They've announced Ospreay. They've announced Kenta. They've announced Taji Ishimori.
Yes.
They also announced today that their 18th anniversary show, they will bring Ring of Honor stars from the past to face Ring of Honor stars of the present. So it's already been announced that Doug Williams, Homicide, Matt Sydal, and Necro Butcher will be involved in this show.
Is Slaba Hasho going to be there?
Tanahasho?
Slaba Hasho.
Probably not. Maybe. Who knows?
Gotta buy two tickets for the plane.
Ring of Honor also announced that Bound by Honor, PCO, will defend against Dragon Lee.
Pickle.
Also, Jeff Cobb and Danny Moff will take on the Briscoes.
Hula! For the titles? No, they're not the champs anymore.
No. They will wrestle Lethal and Gresham at the Free Enterprise show, taking place February 9th.
Yay.
Oh,
Crowbar was on Ring of Honor TV this past week.
He was.
Who was the guy he took on? Eichem?
Eli Isom.
Isom. That kid's got some talent. I thought it was a great match.
Yeah, it was a great match. I was surprised to see Eli Isom win, especially with Crowbar and his crew outside.
His Crowbar.
I've been watching. I watched a fucking shitload of wrestling.
Would you say it is a buttload?
Yeah. Well, I've been going to the gym again, so it's really easy to throw like ROH or MLW on the phone and just fucking hit the elliptical for an hour.
There you go.
Snow. MLW debuts on Saturday or Monday?
Did you say snow?
They. MLW. I don't think they do the debut on YouTube anymore on Mondays. I think it's like Sunday comes out. Because I watched the episode
MLW?
Last night. Yeah.
I couldn't find it.
Yeah, because I watched it Sunday afternoon, I think, or Sunday night.
Yeah, they put it out right away. I don't think there's any more wait. Because I think the people that BN Sports, they put out the spoilers and shit, like the dirt sheets. So they just put it out like right away.
To the fire.
A couple interesting notes. Martha Hart and other members of the Owen Hart Foundation were filmed for the Vice's Dark Side of the Ring.
Martha Hart.
This is like my going home, kind of, but...
That's all right. We don't need going home.
We don't need going home.
We don't need going home. Did you guys see the video of Psychosis 2 smacking the shit out of Conan?
Yeah, what? Psychosis 2 Electric Boogaloo? Like, who is this guy? I don't know who he is.
So, I guess in AAA there was a Psychosis 2.
Okay.
And
when Psychosis signed with WCW, I think.
I don't know how long this dude's been around.
I think he's been around. I think.
But this is not the WCW Psychosis.
No.
He was asked why he wasn't on AAA TV, and he said it was a Conan issue, and he wouldn't be back until Conan was gone. Conan fired back that if Psychosis was so deserving, why couldn't he get a job in another big place? Psychosis 2 said he'd see Conan in January to continue this discussion in person. Psychosis meant the show he was promoting in Lyon, but instead ended up unmasked at tonight's Impact tapings in Mexico City, and he smacked him right in the fucking face.
Yep.
Like, in the street, and Conan backed away like a bitch.
Well, Conan's a fucking crippled old guy at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I don't know if I'd give him crippled old bitch status in terms of...
Did you see the video?
I did.
He got fucking smacked right in the face.
I'm not saying he gets smacked.
I don't like how he always calls Selena like a puta, and like he always calls her like a streetwalker and stuff. Like,
well, he doesn't like her. What's going on with her and her posse? All she's got is L.A. Park.
It's falling apart. L.A. Park returns next week, by the way.
Fightland.
It's falling apart.
And a fucking Jimmy Havoc, fucking Mance Warner, no rope barbed wire matches next week. I'm excited for that.
Oh, the barbed wire?
Yeah.
Can they fucking end this feud already?
It's ending next Monday. Well,
thank God.
No
offense to either one of those guys, but they got to move this shit on.
Oh, that you've offended them.
This is the longest fucking MLW feud ever.
You've offended them.
Who?
You just offended them.
Jimmy Havoc, for a weirdo from England, had a nice apartment, actually.
Apartment?
You saw the fight when they went to his apartment, right? And they fought in the living room and shit?
Yeah.
It was well decorated. I expected to see some satanic weird shit on the walls
and
stuff.
He is a person.
I get it, but he's a weirdo, like Jimmy Havoc. He's always walking around with the big leather trench coats. He's got shitty hair. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever.
Well, take your word for it.
Trust me. I'm an expert.
You are an expert.
I know these things.
Let's pull this train to the station.
Oh, thank God.
What a fun night, boys.
Thanks again, Joe Galli at Joe Galli News. You will see him every Tuesday night on NWA Power on YouTube at 6:05, plus this Friday night, NWA Hard Times on Fight TV.
Thanks again to Matt for fucking making us do another year of these fucking awful pay-per-view picks.
That was a joint thing between me and Kevin.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And we have fun doing it, so
tug on my joint.
Fuck
you
and your misery.
Loser.
You miserable piece of shit.
I am miserable.
You pick Braun Strowman?
Yeah.
Next week,
Jordan Oliver is going to give us a ring on the old telly. We're going to talk about MLW.
Yeah, we're going to talk MBW. Fucking idiot. Hey, Chris, Joe Galli, backyard wrestler.
Chris Jericho just announced a third Rockin' Wrestling Ranger Cruise taking place next year from February 1st to February 5th.
Hope it's a bigger boat.
That's what she said. We're going to need a bigger boat.
Not because they need more people, because Jericho's eating more.
Oh, my God. Actually, I can't even get mad at that. He never took the shirt that I waited 2 hours outside of Dingbats to give him.
Disrespectful.
No, you can disrespect Jericho.
Le champion.
I love it.
Le champion.
How dare you.
Fucking Gerard Depardieu.
We'll be back next week with another episode of the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast. February 3rd, WrestleMania 17, Tony's Wizards Rewind pick. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/wizardspodcast, prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards. For those Patreon supporters, you have a 10% off coupon because you support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. So use it at prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards. I got nothing else. Let's go home, boys.
American Badass Undertaker?
You got it.
Ooh, it's a very Limp Bizkit heavy show.
No, it's not Limp Bizkit, though.
Well, American Badass. Oh, that's Kid Rock. Dun, 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 dun.
Guys, follow me personally at Kevin Garifo on Twitter, at Wizards, Shining Wizards Kevin on Instagram. A couple shows getting back in the comedy game coming up in February as we await.
Follow at Big Tony Z on Twitter so you can tell me he's a fucking idiot and he's not woke.
That's not cool.
You're not woke, bro? Woke. You're not woke.
I still have your Carlito cool hat, though, that you gave.
I still got mine, too.
That you gave us, like, 4 years ago.
We should wear them next week.
I definitely threw that out when I
was. I'll wear it. I have it.
Oh, no, you know what? I might actually have it.
I still have it in the bag. That's right.
I'm going to take those extra Nia Jax heads out of that package. I'm going to stick them up your ass next week.
Where's that European title?
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Oh, fuck. Say goodnight, everyone.
Goodnight, everyone.
Goodnight, everyone.
Fuck you!
Really?
Oh, that was the wrong... Why am I one?
What?
I'm one.
Oh, so why'd you... I did fuck you. Why'd you turn yourself on? I was singing Kid Rock.
You were singing Kid Rock.
Oh, you're singing?
I'm the shit.
He's the shit.
Yay.
You forgot the S on me.
You put an S in front of Hitman. You know what I'm doing.
Hey. 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 Oh. Oh. This penis party's got to go.
Hey. Hey.
Oh. Oh. This penis party's got to go.
I don't know.
Kid Rock got that feather real quick.
No, they really don't.
No, they don't.
Hey, they really don't. Hey,
Tony doesn't want the sex stuff.
Good night, everyone.
Again.
Didn't he kill his midget?
Yeah. He didn't kill his midget.
He didn't
midget
kill
died.
Midget.
But he didn't kill him.
You sure he didn't
died
kill him?
Of a broken heart.
He didn't kill him with awesomeness.
Joe C.
He
killed him with kindness.
He didn't suffocate him with that feathered wolf hair.
Oh, God. What am I going into now?
Ooh.
Undertaker Dom. Duh.
One drawback about iTunes, it just keeps going.
See you guys next week.
See you!
Peace out.